Yeah. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. राम राघव रक्षमा
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഖഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഠ രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഓർത്തലി ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయదే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేషు అభిజ్ఞస్వరా స్వేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద య ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి ఎల్ సూరయాం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదమోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవం అత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమల్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవదం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదం అపేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరం ఆజుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉదీరయేల్ కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపికాపి నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాలయేశమనిశం ప్రతిభావయామి కోమలం కూజయన్వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమాం మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంకం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద So, last Sunday, we had spoken about Akrura's return to Mathura with Krishna and Balaram. And after returning to returning back to Mathura, Krishna and Balaram had decided to go through the streets in order to see the city of Mathura. This travel through Mathura brought back some memories for Krishna, because while Krishna came here as Ramachandra, Mathura had a very important role at the very end of Ramachandra's pastimes. We have discussed that when we talked about Ninth Canto, that in Ramayana, if you look very carefully, you'll find that out of the four brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, only three brothers have got a prominent role, namely Rama, Lakshmana and Bharata. All through the Ramayana you will find Shatrughna, it may appear as though he has been left out. That's the way the story of Ramayana goes. Because it was like that, Rama, Lakshmana and Bharata, they had the major role or major roles in the pastimes of Ramachandra. Shatrughna was left out to some extent. And at the very end, therefore, Ramachandra decided that Shatrughna's name should also stay in Ramayana by constructing this city of Mathura. So that is how Shatrughna became a personality who built this city of Mathura. And Mathura, from then on, has always been the center of attraction. So Ramayana has a relationship with Krishna at this point when he came to Mathura. You can keep that in mind, because the pastimes from now on has all some relationship with Ramayana. That is the most interesting thing here. Krishna has not forgotten anything. What has happened in Treta Yugam, at the end of Dwapara Yugam when Krishna comes, he remembers all what has happened in Treta Yugam. Whereas we don't remember what happened yesterday. This is the living entity's position. Supreme Personality of Godhead, when He comes, in His memory everything is there. Nothing has been forgotten. In Yugam, and so many Yugas have gone, and Krishna remembers what happened when Mahabali received Krishna. Even that Krishna remembered when He came here. In His different pastimes you can find that. So simply to say that this Mathura city had this memories brought back to Krishna. So some of the incidents from now on also has some relationship with Ramayana, or the story of Ramayana. Mathuram, 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 Mathuradhipate, Akhilam, Mathuram, Vilamangalam said about Krishna. Your pastimes are such that everything is sweet from very beginning to end. Krishna's face is sweet, the smiling is sweet, pastimes are sweet, everything is sweet. The whole form of Krishna is sweet. So because of that, Mathuradhipate, Akhilam, Mathuram, everything, you are the Mathuradhipati, or the prince of Mathuram, or the king of Mathura, that you are, everything is sweet in relationship with Krishna. So keep that in mind, because on the pastimes now you will see. Vedavyasa Maharshi says here, Naraloka Maholsavam. Vedavyasa Maharshi didn't know what else to say at this point. That is why he said in that verse number 31 of the 41st chapter. Chapter 41, verse 31. That's where we stop. Where Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, Naraloka Maholsavam, the festival of the whole world in the personified form is coming through now. That is what Vedavyasa says. He did not know how to express different than that. Because in the Ramayanam you will find, when Ramachandra was walking through the streets, Rama Rajivalochanam, that Ramachandra, Valmiki says like this, Pumsam Lochananandanam. About Ramayanam, in Ramayanam, that is how Ramachandra was discussed. Pumsam Lochananandanam. That the eyes of Ramachandra has captivated everyone. And that beauty of Ramachandra has captivated the whole city of Ayodhya. But here, when it came to Mathura, Vedavyasa Maharshi didn't know what to say. He remembered obviously what Valmiki said about Ramachandra. Pumsam lochana nandanam. But here he, Vedavyasa, thought that I cannot even say that about Krishna, because when Krishna started walking through the streets of Mathura, a whole load of people started following him, seeing this beauty which they had not seen or experienced before. Therefore, Vedavyasa thought that if I just say only about Krishna, it will not look very appropriate. Therefore, he said, Naraloka Mahotsavam, that it is the festival of the whole world that was coming through the streets of Mathura. Naraloka Mahotsavam, that is Vedavyasa's words about Krishna, because Vedavyasa didn't know what else he could say about the beauty of Krishna and Balaram when they were walking through the streets. And when they have started proceeding in that way, many, many people have already come to know that Krishna and Balaram has arrived. And those fortunate people, they went up to Krishna and they started paying their obeisances. And some of them received Krishna at home and tried to glorify Krishna in many different ways. And all these things has pleased Krishna. It was an opportunity Krishna has given to the people to understand Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't give so many opportunities. Many, many devotees in the past have said about this Krishna's travel through the Mathura city like this, that if we were just fortunate enough to stand on that side of the street with flower in the hand to offer it to you, because Krishna was freely offering liberation to everyone. Whoever was there, he was offering liberation to them on the streets of Mathura. That is how Krishna was that particular travel through the city of Mathura. Therefore, at this point in time, Krishna comes across the first personality whom he meets on the street. Rajagam kanchidayandam rengagaram gadagraja drishtvaya jadavasamsi daudanityuttamanicham. Rajagam kanchidayandam rengagaram gadagrajam. That here is the story starts about the washerman. Now, this washerman story never seems to end with Ramayanam. In Ramayanam, this one washerman has done the similar thing. What he did there was that he spoke about Ramachandra to his wife. And then he said was that his wife quarreled with him and went away and stayed with her father for some time and came back. And when she came back, the husband, the washerman, got upset with her and started shouting at her. And they had a big argument together. So in the argument, at one point, the washerman says to his wife, "Don't think that I am like Ramachandra, that I will accept anyone. He has accepted the Sita Devi after she went and stayed with Ravana for so long, and she had come back and he has accepted her. What kind of personality is Ramachandra?" This Rajagan, Rajagan means washerman. Washerman started speaking like this to his wife. The wife was trying to pacify him, as usual. That she was telling him that, "Why do you talk about Ramachandra like this? After all, he is our king. Even if you don't accept that he is the Supreme Lord, he is our king. And we shouldn't speak like that." And the more she said, the more he became serious about it and started talking much more loose manner about it. And unfortunately, Ramachandra on that night, when he was traveling through the streets, he overheard this conversation. He came back and he thought about this. He could have done something about it by calling him and speaking to him about it, but he didn't do that. He just thought that, "I will leave it at this moment. Let him go. He had done his business and let him go with it." He just allowed him to get away with it. Didn't do anything about it. But here, when Krishna started walking through the streets, this washerman was coming on the street with the loads of clothes in him, and he was the washerman who was actually supplying the clothes to the palace, Kamsa's palace. Krishna knew all these things, but when he saw the washerman, Krishna and Balaram, they looked at each other, and Krishna stopped the washerman and told him that, "Can you give us some nice clothes?" In a very nice way, Krishna asked him. And the answer to that question from the washerman was just he completely lost control and started abusing Krishna and Balaram altogether, and the cowherd boys. And that is what he mentions here. Then,
Rajagam Kanchidayantam Rangagaram Gatagraja Drishtva Yajadavasam Seem Daudanyat Uttamanijam Dehyavayo Samujidanyangavasam Sichar Hado Bhavishyadi Varam Shreyo Daduste Natra Samshayaham.
Then, Daduste Natra Bhavishyadi Varam Shreyo Daduste Natra Samshayaham. The way Krishna asked the washerman, the clothes were, that if you give me the clothes, a lot of auspicious things will happen to you. In a very, very nice way, Krishna put it to him. And that person did not understand what Krishna was saying. Daduste natra samshayam. If you give me the clothes, something good will happen to you. Krishna was already indicating to him that if you hand over to me what you have got, you are not going to be a loser. You are going to be gain something. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is saying exactly the same thing. Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhoshi dadasi yal yattapasyasi kaundeya tal kurushama darpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, everything you should offer to me, all your penances, everything should be for me. Tal yal tal kurushama darpanam. Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhoshi dadasi yal yattapasyasi kaundeya.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita like that. So whatever Krishna has spoken here is absolutely in line with Bhagavad Gita. He says to the washerman, if you give me those things, it will be good for you if you do that. And Bhagavad Gita also says exactly the same thing. Offer it to me, Krishna says. Everything one should have, one should offer to Krishna. Because by offering to Krishna, one doesn't become poor. He becomes rich actually. That is why ultimately everything belongs to Krishna. It's not ours. We have taken from Krishna. And the first duty is to offer it to Krishna. So in that context, he said to washerman to offer it to him. But the washerman, completely so ignorant he was, he couldn't think in that way. He did not understand. After all, he didn't understand Bhagavad Gita what to speak about. Krishna is coming and begging at him from some Supreme Personality of Godhead, who doesn't need anything, who has got everything, is coming and asking him for something. And such an ignorance he had, he decided not to offer anything. Not only that, he started abusing Krishna and Balaram at that point. So Krishna is saying here, Bhavishyadi param shreyam. What will happen to you will be shreyas. Everything that will happen to you will be good for you. When Ramayanam story happened, in that incident, Ramachandra was very tolerant. Therefore, Valmiki called Ramachandra as Bhadra Sedu. Bhadra Sedu means that when he had to cross the ocean to Sri Lanka from the tip from Rameshwaram, when he had to cross to Sri Lanka, Bhadra Sedu, he built the bridge there. He didn't create much trouble for the for Varuna. Or the ocean. He decided to build the bridge. And in many instances, Ramachandra has forgiven many people in many ways throughout these pastimes. But here, when it came to Krishna, when Krishna came here, Sri Shukan says, it's not like that. It's a little different. Why it is different? Because unlike in Ramayanam, where it was Bhadra Sedu, he says, Giradiva Bhinna Sedu. It is Bhinna Sedu here. There it was Bhadra Sedu. He was tolerating and he was making the bridge and getting through over the Sedu. Sedu Bandhanam, as it was referred to. Bhadra Sedu. Here it is, not Bhadra Sedu, it is Bhinna Sedu. If somebody comes on the way, smash him. That is the philosophy here. It's a little different than in Ramchandra's time. Krishna would not accept, because mercy has increased now than Ramachandra. That is why it is. Krishna has become more merciful than Ramachandra, because these people like this washerman, for another several yugas, if you leave him like that, he is not going to change. The mentality hasn't changed. It is the same old mentality. So Krishna thought at this point in time, rather I'll send him back to the spiritual world. So how did he kill him? Krishna killed this washerman. And Sri Shukan says here in the Bhagavatam, in a nice way, he says here, that Sayajido Bhagavata Paripurnena Sarvada Sakshevam Rushida Praha Bhatyoratya Sudurmadaha. Then Sri Shivan says that, Sayachido Bhagavata Paripurnena Sarvada. One who is complete in everything. Krishna is complete. He doesn't require anything from anybody. And he is begging now. Sayachido Bhagavata Paripurnena Sarvada. Sakshemam Rushida Praha Vrityora Yasudurmadaham. That at that time, that this Rajagan or washerman started speaking in a very rude manner to Krishna. Idrishyanyeva vasam si nityam girivane charaha paridhattakimudvrata rajadravyan abhipsadaham. That he says to them, calls Krishna and Bharam, girivane charaha, that you two have come from the forest. You are not even civilized people. You have just come from the forest. And you are the people, idrishanyeva vasamsi, and you are asking for clothes. Whose clothes? Parihatta kimul vratam vasamsi nityam girivane chara parihatta kimud vratam. And you want to wear this rajadravyan abhip sada. What a strange thing, he says to Krishna, that coming from the forest and your desire is to wear the clothes of the king, is it? Not too bad, he says to them. He says to Krishna and Balaram, what an arrogance. That is the way he has seen it. He says Krishna and Balaram are too arrogant to ask for the clothes of which you are meant for Kamsa. He ridiculed Krishna and Balaram in such a way that calling them such names, idrishanyeva vasamsi nityam girivane charaha, that you should be living in the forest, you should be seen in the country even. You are such people and you come here and asking us these clothes. At that time, Yadashubalisha Mevam Pratyam Yadijivisha Badrandigmandi Lumbandi Drutam Rajakula Nivai. That you are Murkhas, in other words, your attitude is such that you want to steal that the wealth of the king, and you should not have, even the desire should not have come in your heart. The washerman says to Krishna, even you should not have thought about it first thing in the mind. What to talk about asking for it? Even the thought should not have occurred into your mind. And if you continue like this, what's going to happen is you're going to be tied down and taken away by the king's policemen or representatives. And if you don't want that, leave this place immediately. And that is what he warned them like then. Ekam vigathamanasya kupido devaki sudha rajagasera agrena shirakaya adavadayal. Then at that time, he decided that Egam Vigathamanasya Kupido Devaki Sudaha Rajagasya Garagrena Shirakaya Adavadayal. Krishna thought, first time Krishna gets angry at this time. Krishna says, Evam Vigathamanasya Kupido Devaki Sudaha Devaki Sudaha. Krishna became upset. He got angry about this. And Rajagasya Garagrena Shirakaya Adavadayal. Krishna didn't think very much at that time. Just like the children, they pluck the flowers from the plant. Exactly like Krishna thought, I think the problem with this person is his head is not right. So the head has to be taken out. So like he pulls out the flowers from the plant, he just pulled out the head only from the person. And when he pulled out the head, the body fell off straight away there. So, evam vigathamanasya kubido devagi isudha rajagasya karagrena shirakaya adavadayal. He pulled out the head from there. Tasyanu jivinam sarve vasakoshan visrajyamai dudrivu sarvadomargam vasamsi jagrahe achyudaham. Then at this time, all other people, his assistants who were with him, there were several of them who were carrying clothes. They were a little bit more intelligent than this man. So, because they had little intelligence, they decided at that time to leave Krishna there and run away from there. They didn't want to face the same situation like their bosses experienced. So, that was the first thing what Krishna has done. Vasitvalma priye vastre Krishna sangarshanastathaha sheshan adata gobebhyo visrajya bhuvika anichil. That when they left, they ran away from there. What did Krishna and Balaram do? Opened up all the bundles of clothes which were going to the palace. Opened up and Krishna picked up a nice blue uttariyam and handed over to Balaram. Wear this, he said. See if it fits you. And first class dhotis which were going to the palace, you can imagine how expensive they could be. So actually through this pastime, Krishna was trying to say a few things. First thing, he was sending signals to Kamsa that I have come. And secondly, Krishna was also getting ready for the fight. So Krishna thought, and Balaram also, we have come from Vrindavanam, our clothes are all not up to the city fashions, isn't it? the style in the city is little higher than the villages. So Krishna wanted some fashionable clothes, which wanted to go for the fight. So he thought he'll pick up the best anyway, because after all, Kamsa will have the best clothes, isn't it? So Krishna opened up the mandal and took out the clothes and handed over a blue one to Balaram. And then he saw a nice yellow one, he took it himself. So Krishna and Balaram dressed nicely. And he told everyone who are the cowherd boys who were there with him, they were all enjoying the scene. Not only they were enjoying, all the other people who saw this, they all started saying that what Krishna has done was the right thing. Because none of them liked that washerman. The washerman seems to have had such a bad tongue that every time he opened his mouth, because of his close association with Kamsa, he used to give trouble to many people in different ways. So every one of them appreciated Krishna for what he did. And Krishna and the cowherd boys, all his friends, all of them got dressed very nicely. And whatever was left behind, he threw it away there and went away from that place, walked out of that, So after that,
Tadastu vayaga priyas tayor veshamagal payel vijitravarnai chailei agal pay anirupadaham. Tadastu vayaga priyas tayor veshamagal payel.
That when Krishna did all these things, an old tailor came that way. That is vayam. Vayaga is a tailor. So an old tailor came that way. He came up and started paying his respects to Krishna. And he said to Krishna that he would like to stitch the clothes for him, because Krishna has taken the clothes. Now it has to be stitched, because while going for the wrestling match and all that, you should have very tight clothes for that. So this tailor, who was an expert in stitching clothes, he said to Krishna that let me prepare these clothes for you.
Tadastu vayaga priyastayor veshamagal payal vijitravarnaishchailei agal payiranirupadaham.
Then properly he got dresses made for Krishna and Balaram.
Nana lakshana veshabhyam Krishna ramo virejado salamkrado balagajo parvani vasade tarom.
That Krishna and Balaram looked beautiful with this multicolored clothes, what has been prepared for him.
Tasya prasanna bhagavan pradal sarupyam alpanam shriyam javaramam loge velaishvairya smriti indriyam.
That Krishna got so pleased with that tailor, he decided that this tailor must receive my mercy in some form. So what did he do? He gave him many things. Krishna wished him to go back to the spiritual world and get Sarupya Mukti in his own form in the spiritual world. Apart from that, Krishna said he should not go back to the spiritual world just like that now. He should live in this world and enjoy this world also for some time. So he gave him the beauty of the body, strength in the body, health, and also remembrance of Krishna, and lot of strength for his senses and all the opulences. Krishna gave everything to him.
Tasya prasanno bhagavan pradal sarupyam alpana shriyam cha paramam loge bela aishwarya smriti indriyam belam aishwaryam smriti offer indriyam.
Everything was given to him. And
tada sudamno bhavanam malakarasya jagmadu tau drishtva sa samuthaya nanama shirasa bhuvim.
That it was after that Krishna started moving further. What did he see? When he go a little bit further, he saw that Krishna and Balaram, he saw a shop where a person was making garlands.
Mala karasya jagmadum.
He was making garlands there. So Krishna and Balaram thought, now I got a good clothes, dress. The next thing I need some nice good garlands. Krishna and Balaram walked into the shop and the person was making the garlands. He got up from the seat. He did not act like the washerman did. Paid his obeisances first to Krishna and Balaram. You will see about this how elevated personality he was. He was making garlands, but his consciousness was so high, which you will see when Krishna spoke to him at the end. That he says to Krishna that Krishna was not listening to him. Rather, Krishna was looking at all the garlands at that time. What garland shall I take? He was thinking. He took one of the nice garlands and put it on himself. And then the garland maker, he was thinking what to say to Krishna at this time. He wanted to bring all the best garlands and offer it to Krishna. Krishna started picking up some of the best garlands and put it on himself. And then he gave some nice garlands to Balaram also. After he has given to Balaram, he gave to all the cowherd boys also a garland each. And after he was given, and then he started speaking to the to him, to the maker.
Tayorasanamaniyam padyam chadarhanadhibi pujam sanigayos chakre sraktamulanulepanehim.
That person, he immediately brought water for them to wash the feet, place to sit, and then after that he bought betel leaves and nuts for them to enjoy, and then sandalwood pulp also. And in this way, like a proper way, he received them as guests in his shop there.
Tayorasanamaniyam padyam chadarhanadhibi pujam sanugayos chakre sraktam bhulanulepanehi prahanasartagam janma pavidam jagulam prabho pitradevarshayo mahyam toshtaviha agamanenavam.
That, and after offering everything to Krishna and Balaram, he is saying to Krishna and Balaram like this:
prahanasartagam janma pavidam jagula prabho.
My life has become really benefited by this. Today it has I have reached the perfection of my life. Why?
Pitradevarshayo mahyam tushta agamanenavam.
Because my my duty to Pitrical forefathers, to the demigods and the sages, because these are the true debts for all of us, for demigods, to the forefathers and to the sages. We have debts to all of them.
Devarshibhudapta nirnam pidarnam nakingaro naya mrinijarajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gado mukhundam parihrityakartam.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that we have three debts: to the demigods, to the forefathers and to the sages. This is not the kind of debt what we are talking about, clearing the credit card bills. It's not like that. Here,
Devarshi Bhudapta Nrinam Pidarnam Nakingaro Nayamrani Jarajan.
These three debts are to the demigods. By performing sacrifices, we have to clear our debts to them. Because normal situation, demigods are providing us our necessities of life in this world. But when we don't have that concept, we will have to approach in a different way. We think differently. But demigods, actually we owe them. Therefore, Shastra says there, for demigods you fulfill your obligations by performing sacrifices. To the forefathers, we have to offer the oblations. That is by performing Shraddha ceremony. And we fulfill our obligations to the forefathers. And to the great sages, we offer for giving us transcendental literature and instructions how to live in this world and how to escape from the cycle of birth and death. We owe them something because of the knowledge they have given us through the great Vedic literature. And that fulfillment or that debt is cleared by studying the Vedic literature. They are not expecting us from any royalty or fee from us. All they are saying to us is, just study the literature what we have given to you. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Valmiki, Sri Narada Muni, to all of them we owe. We had debt towards them. That's why it says like that.
Devarshi Bhudapta Nrinam Pidarnam Nakingaro Nayamrani Charajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gado Mukundam Parihrityagatam.
But if one who has taken complete shelter of Krishna, he does not have any of these obligations to demigods or the forefathers or the sages. This is what Sri Narada Maharshi says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But here, because this garland maker, he was saying to Krishna that, I feel all my duties have been fulfilled because you have come to this house. At that time, his glorification is continuing.
Bhavandau kila vishvasya jagadakaranam param avadirna viham shena kshemaya cha bhavaya jam.
That you are not ordinary people. You are actually the cause of all causes.
Bhavandau kila vishvasya jagadakaranam param avadirna viham shena kshemayaja bhavayaja nahimam shamam drishti sukurdo jagadalpano samayo sarvabhudeshu bhajadam bhajadorabhim nahimam shamam drishti sukurdo jagadalpano samayo sarvabhudeshu bhajadam bhajadorabhim.
That at this point in time, he says to Krishna, wanted to know from him what he wants from Krishna. And in answer to that, he is saying to him these three things. And all these three things will show that what a great personality he was. He is only an ordinary person who just made garlands to make a living. But look at this consciousness of that person. He says to Krishna that Nahivam Shamadrishti Suhrudo Jagadalmanom, that I have to always feel, be a devotee of you. I stay as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is all my only desire, he says to Krishna. I just want to be a devotee. One. Secondly, I always have friendly relationship with other devotees. Secondly. And the third thing, compassion to all other living entities in this world. Suppose if everyone comes to this platform, what a nice place this would be, isn't it? This world to live. Imagine that. That it is this consciousness in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a devotee's consciousness, a devotee's approach to prayers to Krishna, is one of the finest prayers in the Bhagavatam, that saying to Krishna, that I become your devotee, always stay and give me devotion, he says to Krishna, number one. Number two, friendship to all your other devotees. And number three, even if others who are not devotees, compassion to all of them. These three things he mentions at that time. Nahimam shamadrishti sukhrudor jagadalmanoho samayo sarvabhudeshu bhajandam bhajadoravim tavatnya abayadam pratyam kimaham karavanivam pumsotyanugraho yesha bhavabhir yunyujyadim. That I know you don't need anything from me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What do you need from me, an ordinary conditioned living soul here? But please instruct me what I should do. Tavatnya abayadam pratyam kimaham karavanivam pumsotyanugraho yesha bhavabhir yunyujyadim ityabi pretya rajendra sudama pridamanasaha shastai sugandai kusumai mala virajida dadavum tabiswalangrada pridau krishna ramau sahanugau pranadaya pradannaya dadadurvaradau varan. Krishna and Balaram, he received all the garlands what he has given to them and blessed Sudama. His name was also Sudama. And Sudama continuously paid his obeisances with great devotion in front of Krishna and simply asked Krishna to protect him. That was the humility of that great personality. That Krishna and Rama asked them, what exactly would you need? So vivavre jalam bhaktim tasmin neva akhilatmani tal bhakte shuja sauhardam bhude shuja dayam param. The same thing. So vivam vrajalam bhaktyam tasmin nev akhilatmani. Akhilatmani, Krishna is a super soul in everyone. And devotion to him. That is what I am asking. He says, tal bhakte shuja sauhardam. Friendship to all the other devotees. And that is another thing. Bhudeshu jadayam param. And also he says to Krishna that I should have compassion for all the other conditioned souls, other living entities in this world. Iti tasmai varam dattva shriyam janvayavardhinim balamayuryashakandim nirjagama sahagrajaham. Krishna blessed Sudama with all these things what he has asked. Steady devotion, compassion to all other living entities, and friendship to all the other devotees. He gave this mercy to that devotee like this. And in addition to that, Krishna also offered him everything else on the material platform. Long life, plenty of opulences, and also beauty, and everything what he never expected. He offered all that to him and left the scene with Balaram. That's what that chapter ends. Iti Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurane Dashamaskande Purvardhe Madhurapura Praveshanam Nama Ekachatvarimshodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Shuka Vaja Atha Vrajan Rajapathena Madhava Sriyam Grahidanga Vilepa Bhajanam Vilokya Gubjam Yuvadim Varananam Paprachayandim Prahasanda Sapradaha. Now you can see Krishna by now has got his clothes, he has got his garland also. Now Krishna thought, I have to do some perfumes also now, isn't it? Before, that's how everyone dresses up. Krishna is not much different. And there is no one who is more fashionable than Krishna. You have to remember that. Alangara Priyo Krishna. Krishna is the only personality who loves to dress very nicely. Any amount of time you change clothes, Krishna is pleased with that. Alangara Priyo Krishna. That athavrajan rajapathena madhavastriyam grihidanga vilepa bhajanam vilokya kubjam yuvadim varananam paprachayandim prahasandrasa pradaham. It was at that time that he got his clothes And he got the garlands also. Now Krishna thought, what shall I put on my body to smell it much more nicer? So it was then that they saw this lady who was walking a little bit in the front. She was called by different names it's a personality from Ramayanam who has come here. So that's why I was saying that, if you remember, Shurpanaka, who Lakshmana has, when Ramachandra, Sita Devi and Lakshmana were in the forest, that time Shurpanaka came to Ramachandra and Lakshmana, asking Ramachandra to become her husband, is Ravana's sister. Then Shurpanaka had desire to associate with Ramachandra. And Ramachandra at that time told her, in this lifetime, I have taken a vow that I will have only one wife, and Sita Devi is already there. Perhaps in the next lifetime we will see. That's how Krishna has told Shurpanaka. Shurpanaka has forgotten all that. She changed her bodies many times. But Ramachandra did not forget. He kept that in his mind. So the same opportunity has come for her. She has come now as this personality here called Kubja. She is known by 3-4 names. Kubja, she is called one name. Another name is Trivakra. And third name is Sairantri. And unfortunately, she had a hunchback. Hunchback means she had 3 bends in her body. So therefore, she was called a Trivakra. So this Trivakra was going a little bit ahead of them in the street. And she was carrying with her a mixture of sandalwood pulp, camphor, and also from kasturi. Kasturi is the one that they extract from the deer. These things are mixed up together, and in the deity worship they use these things. In big temples they use them for covering Krishna's body with the pulp of all these things. It has got such a nice smell, and also it cools the body very much. So sandalwood pulp, camphor, and kasturi from the deer, they are all mixed together. Very expensive also to make it these days. So this particular thing, she was an expert in mixing these things. And she was taking this, a lot of it, to Kamsa's palace. That was her duty. Somehow or the other, she was working for Kamsa, under Kamsa's service. And her duty was to prepare the best of this for Kamsa's use. And so she knew, she was really an expert. That's why, in spite of her all other incapacity, Kamsa has employed her in the palace as a beautician, you can say. She was like a beautician in Kamsa's palace. So she was going ahead. Krishna and Balaram were far behind with all the other cowherd boys. The smell was coming from her because of this mixture of these 3 things. So when the smell came, Krishna looked at Balaram's face to see what Balaram's response was. When Krishna looked at Balaram, Balaram turned his head. He didn't want to see her, do anything with her. He just wanted to keep away from the trouble. Balaram is like that. Balaram doesn't want to get involved with people unnecessarily. So Balaram thought, it's all trouble. You do what you want. I'm not getting involved. Krishna understood that. That was the mood of my brother. Fine. So I'll have to deal myself, Krishna says. So what did Krishna do? Krishna says, started walking. She couldn't walk very fast. She had one stick in the hand and these 3 bends in the body. One hand on her knees she was holding, with the other hand the stick, and with great difficulty she was holding the pot of this mixture. And she was going, and quickly Krishna and Balaram got closer to her. So she couldn't even look at Krishna because her head was down because of the bend in the body. And also she looked so ugly because of all this deformities in the body. And no one will even normally look at her or speak to her. That was the normal situation for her. So she is also not bothered. And she was just going like that. Krishna goes up to her and looks at her. And first of all, before you start the conversation, you have to address the person, isn't it, with something. You have to say it to. How do you say something to someone? So you have to call some name. And none of these names came to Krishna's mind at that time. Trivakra, Kubja, Sairandri, none of them came. So Krishna thought he will call her something what he thought is appropriate. What did he call her? Oh, my beautiful lady, he says to her. Sundari, he calls her. Krishna calls her Sundari. And this lady lifted her head and looked at, who is calling me Sundari? Not in my lifetime once. Even my own mother, normally my father and mother at least will call you my darling, my sweetheart, this, that and the other. They will say. Even the mother never called her. because from birth itself these deformities were in her body. So never she had one day in her life, you could say that she was happy in any way. Bodily conditions were so bad that she had no hopes at all in life. And to that personality, Krishna goes up to her and calls her Sundari, or beautiful girl. Will you give us some of that mixture of the sandalwood pulp, what you have got there? He says to her. So she put her hand and looked at Krishna. When she looked at Krishna, first of all, what caught her was the words that came from Krishna's mouth. In my life, not once anyone called me this word, Sundari. So who is this calling me Sundari like this? She was absolutely absolutely surprised by these words. And the sweetness with which Krishna spoke those words has melted her heart to such a degree that, after all, if you speak nicely to someone, everyone feels happy, isn't it? Whereas if you turn your head and walk away, although nobody wants to know anything about you. But that is the nature. I mean, the human nature is like that. Everyone likes to speak to others and like to speak in a nice way. So Krishna spoke by these few words, Krishna caught her. And she got hooked into that. And the second thing after that, when she looked at Krishna, the face, the smile and everything, and the eyes, she could not resist herself. She did not know what to say. And she thought, he has called me Sundari, but more appropriate than that, I should call her the other way, she thought. You see, she is a city woman, she doesn't have the shyness of the village woman. So village women have shyness. Suppose Krishna has gone and told a gopi like this, Sundari, the gopi should have probably put her sari, covered herself and walked away from there. But Kubja was not like that. Kubja used to live in the city. So Kubja's reaction was also in the same way. Kubja's reaction to Krishna was, hey Sundara, he replies back. Immediately the answer was, hey Sundara. You see the verses, how it has been written there. Kātum maror veda duha anulepanam kasyanganeva kathayasu sadhunaha dehya avairanga vilepam uttamam shreyastadaste ajiral bhavishyadim. Krishna says to her, if you give me that sandalwood pulp, something good will happen to you. That is all Krishna has said. Shreyastadaste ajiral bhavishyadi. Very soon something good will happen to you. Sairandri vaja dasyasmeham sundara. Sairandri is saying to Krishna, dasyasmeham sundara kamsa sammada trivakranama anuleva karmani malbhavidam bhojabade adipriyam vina yuvam konyadamastadarhadim. That my name is Trivakra. I have three bends in my body. And because of that, everybody calls me Trivakra. Some people call me Kubja also. I am a dasi of my dear Sundara. I am a dasi of Kamsa. Kamsa servant I am. Malbhavidam bhojavade adipriyam. Kamsa likes my sandalwood pulp, the way I make it. He likes it very much. Vinayuvam ko anyastadastam arhadim. But I know it is you who deserves this more than anything else. Look at the attitude of Sairandri. Sairandri was also a servant of Kamsa, isn't it? But Sairandri did not speak like the way the washerman has spoken. Sairandri's attitude was that, I am Kamsa's servant, but when she saw, she did not have the care at all about about what Kamsa will think about me or what is going to happen to me. She didn't have any such fear. She decided that I'm going to offer this to Krishna, just to show us that if you offer to Krishna anything, it is never a loss. This is the point that is being drawn from this, that Krishna has already got the clothes, the garlands, and now the sandalwood pulp also has been offered to Krishna. All these pastimes are showing for one reason only, that Krishna has got two potencies. One potency is the ability the Krishna blesses people, benedictions. He gives to people the benedictions. That is called anugraha shakti, to give the mercy. The other one, the opposite thing, is nigraha shakti, to kill someone. Krishna has exhibited in this particular pastime all of them, both anugraha shakti and nigraha shakti. The few personalities, like the maker of the garland and the person who the tailor who prepared the clothes, and now Sairanthri, all of them were given the benedictions and given them the liberation like that. And the washerman also, Krishna says to him that the word he has used there, daduste natra samshayam. Daduste natra samshayam means that if you give it to me, good thing will happen to you, there is no doubt, Krishna says. So you know what his answer was? If I don't give it to you, what will happen? That was the answer from the washerman. So Krishna says, adaduste natra samshaya, even if you don't give it to me, something good will happen to you. In other words, Krishna was so merciful to him that because he did not give it, Krishna sent him back to the spiritual world. He says, don't stay around here. You better you go back to the spiritual world. So send him back to the spiritual world. Daduste natra samshayaha. That so Krishna's kindness is such that he gave to somebody, he gave liberation. To someone else, he gave them the devotion. The washerman didn't get devotion. Whereas the garland maker, Kubja and others, they got devotion. You see? So you can see from here, devotion is a superior thing. Liberation is not the ultimate thing. Liberation is good. That it is the gratis what you get with devotion. So, but liberation is not the ultimate goal. Ultimate goal is to become a devotee of Krishna. How to surrender and to relish that relationship with Krishna. So that Krishna has not offered him. Krishna told him, you go back to the spiritual world. Don't stay here. But to others, he said that not only the material life, even the spiritual life was perfected, and even the material life was also offered to them. So Kubja or Sairandri or Trivakra, who is here now, says to Krishna like this, Dasi asmiham sundarakam sa sammada Trivakra nama anuleva karmani malbhavidam bhojavade adipriyam vina yuvam konyadamastadarhadim rubaveshanamadhuryam hasidala bhavikshidaihi Arshida Darshidalma Dado Sandram Ubayoranulevanam. She looked at them and started thinking that she checked out what color we should select for Krishna and Balaram. Both have different bodies, isn't it? Balaram is white in color. So accordingly she prepared one mix for Balaram. But prior to that, she looked at Krishna. Krishna's color is different, dark, cloudish color. So at that time, accordingly a suitable mixture Sairandri has prepared and applied that on Krishna's body. Krishna got nicely dressed now, garland, and also the covered with the sandalwood pulp. Matching the dress, isn't it? Everything should be matching, isn't it? Like we do the same thing. I think Krishna was also very much particular about it. So Krishna dressed nicely. The sandalwood pulp, which was very much matching with the Pidambaram, the yellow garment Krishna was wearing. So Krishna looked very beautiful. Then, at that time, Krishna looked at Balaram. Now, what Balaram is going to have? So Sairandri applied on Balaram also a color that was matching Balaram's clothing, a bluish color. And then dressed so nicely. After all that, Krishna could have walked away from there at that time, isn't it? The business is finished. That she has asked Krishna, has asked her, and she has done what she can do. And Krishna could have walked away from there, but Krishna didn't go away from there easily. He stayed back. Tadastha vangaragena sovarnedara shobhina samprapta parabhagena shishubhade anuranjidohum. Then they started discussing about it, that Balaram had a bluish one and Krishna had a yellowish one, mixture of sandalwood pulp, and Krishna and Balaram were looking very beautiful after they were put on this. And Prasanno Bhagavan Kubjam Trivakram Rujirananam Hrijvim Kartum Manaschakre Darshayan Darshane Bhalam. This is the most important thing. Prasanno Bhagavan Kubjam Trivakram Rujirananam Krijvim kartum manas chakre darshayan darshane bhalam. Then Krishna asked her, what do you want? Now you can imagine Kubja's situation at this time. From birth itself she had this problem with her body. It was something what she has realized is not going to change in this life. If you get an illness like that, or a body situation of the body like that, sometimes you see people like that, isn't it? Who are difficult situation and you feel compassion for them when you see people suffering that due to some problems in the body like that. So what happens normally is they come to terms with it in their own life that it has happened, nothing can be done about it. So our Trivakra was also like that. She had no hopes in life. Everything was finished. There was no hope at all in her life. Something, a better day is going to come in life. Materially, in any way, there was no hope at all. Not only that, Prasanno Bhagavan Kubjam Trivakram Rujidananam. She was also a personality who had nothing, no possession at all. She was totally totally helpless. There was no one to look after her, no one to protect her. And overall, she was a destitute. You could say that there was no one for her in this world. Totally helpless condition. Plus the bodily deformities were also such that she could not imagine in her life that a better day is going to come. This was her position. Krijvim kartam manaschakre darshayan darshani bhalam. That her mind has sunk to such low levels. Isn't it? That's what happens in life when one has no hopes in life or of either neither good health nor enough money to live on. Nor you can't eat proper food and so many other problems, everything. When all that comes to you, one after the other, generally someone loses his heart, he becomes very desperate. And and when that happens, then there is no more hope of doing anything after that. But Krishna has got one problem. When he sees somebody like that, Krishna wants to catch them. That is Krishna's way of doing things. Because normally when people also go to Krishna, when every other thing fails, isn't it, in the life, when all other things fail, then only they start, now we'll go and see Krishna, see what we can do. At that time you take the stick and start walking to the temple. Up to that point, you will try every other method in this world to solve the problems. But only when you become totally helpless, then you start going to Krishna. And Krishna also knows that, those who are coming to him, in what consciousness they are coming. And because it is that like that, Krishna went up to her and said, Padbhyam akramya pravade janguilyuttana panina pragrahya chumbuge adhyalpam udaninam adachyudaham. That completely she has lost hope, totally in despair, that's what she was. And Krishna goes up to him and she did not ask anything, to do anything about her body, because she has taken it for granted that this body, nothing can be done about it. What was the point in saying it? She has already concluded like that. So Krishna is asking her, what's wrong with you? He says to her. That so she's standing like this in that three bands, Trivakra, with the three bands in her body, and looking at Krishna like this. Krishna says to her, it's not possible to straighten this out. He says to her. So she didn't say answer. She says to Krishna that from the birth itself it's like that. Where is the question of straightening it out now, after so many years? Krishna looks at her and thinks that something can be done about it. Before she could say anything, the operation was finished. That is Krishna. That Krishna's operation is like that. Before she could answer anything, that's what it says. Padbhya akramya pravade dyanguilyuttana panina pragrahya chumbuge adhyalmam udaninam adachyuda. Before she answered, the operation was over. That Krishna put his left leg on the 2 feet and from the backside Krishna pushed her and put the right hand underneath the chin and then just lifted it like that. And straight up, it went up like this. The whole body went in one straight line. When this happened, when Sukadeva Goswami said this to Parikshit, Parikshit got a little surprised about it and looked at Sukadeva Goswami at that point. You can see that in the next verse. Sa tadarju samanangi brihashroni payodharaha mukunda sparshanal sadhyo babhuva prabhadottamaha. Look at that way. Sa tadarju samanangi. Parikshit is looking at Sukadeva Goswami. That means when Krishna lifted her and straightened out, has she gone like a stick all the way up like that? No. Next word you see. Brihashroni payodhara. That immediately Krishna not only changed the body, it has become so proportionately, everything, all parts of the body, the breast and the backside, everything was modified in such a way, she looked more beautiful than even Lakshmi Devi, Mahalakshmi. If Mahalakshmi had seen her at that time, she would have moved away from the street. Such an extent, Kubja became beautiful. Sairandri became so beautiful. Satadarju samana angi brihashroni payodhara mugunda sparshanal sadhyo babhuva pramadontamam. Mugunda sparshanal, by the touch of Krishna, this is what has happened to her, to Kubja. So that is what it is saying there. Tado rupaguna udairyam sambanna praha keshavam uttariyandama agrishya smayandi jatakrichayah. Then, now, okay, that vakrada or that three bends has been sorted out now. Krishna could have gone from there, isn't it? No, Krishna stood there and looked at her, and Kubja also was not an ordinary personality. Kubja, because she herself became so beautiful at this time, by Krishna's Mukunda Sparshanal, by Krishna's touch, she has become so beautiful. So she looked at Krishna. Krishna also looks very beautiful. Now a beautiful girl sees a beautiful boy. There is naturally an attraction for them, isn't it? And Kubja, what did she do? Without any hesitation, goes up to Krishna. And Krishna has put this uttariyam. Uttariyam is a second cloth on the shoulder. And the two ends are hanging on either side. She goes up to him, Krishna, and hold on either side of this uttariyam with both the hands like this. And looks at Krishna like this. Krishna also felt a little embarrassed. Balaram is standing there. Krishna never thought that this is not the right place for all these relationships. Krishna had no difficulty. After all, from Vrindavanam it has started. When the gopis have got attracted in the same way to Krishna. And they have also followed Krishna and stole their heart also. Now Kubja is also affected in the same way. Kubja holds this uttariyam on either side and looks at Krishna. So, you know what she said to him? Kubja says to Krishna, or Sairandriya said to Krishna. So Krishna started walking away on the street. That's not the route. This is the way to my house. Come over to my house. Sairandri, let's go to our house. Sairandri. Krishna bit embarrassed altogether. When Krishna says to her, you know, because of this one particular pastime, Krishna got a name in the Sahasranamam. 1,000 names if you read. Kubjam Krishtam Bharadara. That is the word. Om Kubjam Krishtam Bharadara Ayanama. When they offer flowers to Krishna in the Sahasranamam, they will offer, this name is chanted. If you translate this word into English, it will be like this. One whose cloth on the shoulders were caught by Kubja and held. And I pay my obeisances to you. That will be the literal meaning of that. But in Sanskrit, when you say that, Om Kubjam Krishtam Bharadaraya Nama, then Kubjam Akrishta Ambharadaya Nama, Ambaram, that cloth which was held by Kubja, and that pastime has given Krishna this specific name also. In Sri Krishna Ashtotra Shatam, I think this name comes not in the 1,000 names. So, Kubja Krishtam Bharadaraya Nama, that name has come because of this pastime in Mathura with Kubja. So Krishna says to Kubja that at this point in time I cannot come. I am come with some serious business. Krishna's mind, now onwards you will find Krishna is getting more and more serious. All that childhood and beautiful childish pastimes, they are finished in Vrindavanam. That pastime you don't find anymore. From now on it's all princely behavior or the king's behavior or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those pastimes. And that is why Vrindavana pastimes has its own sweetness. That sweetness you won't enjoy it anymore after this. But here with Kubja, I have come with a business here to Mathura. When I finish my business, I'll come up and see you one day. And Krishna did. He kept his word later. That you will see later. Krishna went up to see Kubja and spent some time with her. And from that relationship, a son was born. And that was, he was called as Upashloka. Upashloka was a son. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavadam, but in other Puranas there is reference to that. But this Kubja, for behaving like this, many, many great devotees have criticized Krishna for that. Criticized Kubja for that. They mentioned this to Krishna. at different times. Sometimes Krishna didn't say anything about it, but in some occasions Krishna also did not like it, that they have looked at Kubja in a different way, because their complaint about Kubja was, Kubja has got an opportunity to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in front of her, isn't it? And when you get an opportunity to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you approach Krishna with some lusty desires, that's not a very good thing, isn't it? That's a very mundane way of approaching Krishna, very mundane. And when you get an opportunity to see the Supreme Lord, it should be praying for devotion, freeing from the cycle of birth and death, going back to the spiritual world. These are the things normally a person is expected to ask Krishna. But Kubja did not ask any of those things. She didn't want liberation, she didn't want devotion, she didn't want freedom from the cycle of birth and death, none of the material opulences either. All she wanted was to enjoy with Krishna. This is all. Because the beauty of Krishna was such that you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that at different times Krishna has captivated the devotees in different ways. Sometimes by the playing of the flute, like he did in Vrindavanam with the gopis, and by sweet conversation with the gopis. Now here, the beauty of Krishna has attracted Sairandri or Kubja so much, she wanted to associate with Krishna. So some devotees mentioned this to Krishna once. Krishna didn't like it. Krishna's answer to that was that, in the pastimes in Mathura, in all the pastimes in Mathura, no one else, no other women in city of Mathura had the courage to approach Krishna like this, like Kubja has done. Has anybody else done this to Krishna before? The gopis in Vrindavanam, they already were Krishna's sweetheart. Krishna had loved them so much and they also loved Krishna in return. But here in Mathura, an ordinary personality like Kubja, she has not chanted once the Mahamantra. She has not studied Srimad Bhagavatam. She has not taken prasadam, anything. All she knew, her mind was completely attracted by Krishna's beauty. And she wanted to approach Krishna in that mood. So, you can see, when Krishna came here, Krishna had no consideration. Anyone and everyone freely offered them what they wanted. And to Kubja, because she approached Krishna in that mood, Krishna offered Kubja also the same thing. That Krishna offered Kubja that she could associate with him in the same way. So you can see that Kubja did not ask for anything. In spite of that, Krishna appreciated her service to him. That service of offering the sandalwood pulp to Krishna, Krishna could not forget that. That is the importance of this pastime.
Ehi vira graham yamo naktvam tektumihol sahe Toyon madhidajitaya prasida purusharshabham.
This is Kubja's words to Krishna, that you should come with me. I cannot go alone to my home.
Evam striyaya achyamana krishno ramasya vashyada mukham vichyanu gopana prahasamstamu vajaham.
That when Kubja started speaking like this, Krishna looked at Balaram. And when all of them were standing like that, Krishna answered that,
Eshyamine griham subhro humsam adhivikarshanam sadhidarto grihanamna pandhanam te parayanam.
My dear beautiful young lady, I'll come to your house sometime later. I have some other business to do and therefore I cannot come now. But later on I'll come. My mind is not very free at the moment to do anything. And therefore, I can come only when I finish my other businesses. But I will definitely do that. Now, you can see here that Krishna has managed to send her away.
Visrajya vadhva vanyatam rajan marge vanik padhaihi nanobayanatam bulam sraggandai sagrajorchidaham.
That the Vaishyas brought betel leaves, garlands, sandalwood pulp. Everything was brought for him and they all offered everything to Krishna as much as they wanted, and Kubja also went away after Krishna has given this promise to her. തദ്ദർശന സ്മരക്ഷോഭം ആത്മാനം നാവിതൻ ശ്രിയ വിശ്രസ്തവാസകപരവലയാ ലേഖ്യമൂർത്തയാം. കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ബ്യൂട്ടി ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് അട്രാക്റ്റഡ് ദി വിമൻ ഇൻ മധുര ഓൾസോ. ദേ വർ ഓൾ തിങ്ക് ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് സീയിങ് ദിസ് ബൈ സീയിങ് ദ ബ്യൂട്ടി ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ദേ വർ അഫക്റ്റഡ് ബൈ ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് വാസ് സച്ച് ദാറ്റ് the beauty of supreme personality of Godhead has captivated the hearts of these devotees of Mathura. So you can see here now in this travel through the streets, Krishna sent the washerman to the spiritual world. Krishna offered everything to the maker of the garland. Not only a spiritual destination after death, leaving the body to the spiritual world. Apart from that, everything materially also, Krishna has given him plenty for his life in this world, a happy life in this world. Krishna offered that to him as well. Thirdly, when he came to Kubja, in Kubja, for the tailor, she offered this, and for the garland maker also, exactly the same way. Although they did not ask for anything material, you can find one interesting thing here, that Krishna not only offered them a spiritual blessings, also on material level, Krishna has offered them many things to these two personalities, the garland maker as well as for the tailor. But when it came to Kubja also, Krishna has offered not only a spiritual progress or spiritual advancement, apart from that also material opulence, and relieved her from all material distress immediately. Although she was so sunk in her heart, completely relieved her material distress and brought her into a jubilant and happy mood altogether in this very life. So why did Krishna do all these things? Normally people have this impression that you go to Krishna if you want liberation, only then you go to Krishna, and therefore if you put this condition to Krishna, only for liberation you go to Krishna. For all other things, I'll go to other demigods who will offer me everything what I want in this world. Liberation we will see later when it comes to that, we'll look at it at that time. This is most of the people think like that in this world, isn't it? So because it is no point in saying to everybody that Prabhu, you have to give up no attachment to this world, be ready to go to the spiritual world, you know, be prepared for that, you know. Nobody is going to listen to you. You can say all these things. Even if somebody listens to you, it will be only for a day or so. The second day itself, the mind will pull you back again to this world. This is the nature of this world. You can't do anything about it. That in this material world, we need also some way to live. And there is material desire. These desires won't go away easily. They'll follow you wherever you go. And this was the case with with these personalities also in the street. They never asked for it, but Krishna found out that they need it and offered it to them. Why did Krishna do that? Because Krishna is concerned, not that Krishna wanted to entangle them in material life, but because this problem is there with people, that unless they get materially some benefit, they will not go to Krishna. They will not ask for, they will not come. They will not come and take shelter of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam unless and until they feel some happiness in material life. When there is no happiness in material life, where is the question of trying to understand Krishna? That is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So knowing well all these things, Krishna decided that you come to me not only for your spiritual advancement, even materially, if you are lacking something, Krishna can offer that. So Krishna decided at this point, you see, you can see this also in practical life. Normally when people don't want to go and see Krishna in the temple, because they consider it as a big burden, liability, they don't have the time, something or the other will come in the life and they are busy with this, busy with that, so many things will go on and all the time. But suddenly if they start going to the temple, some people will start saying, oh, he started going to the temple, there must be something happening in his life. Otherwise, why is he going to the temple? Because he, up to this point in time, I never seen him going to the temple. Now he's going every morning, he's going to the temple. And then they start seeing the car starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. So they start making more speculation. or that he started leaving home so early in the morning. Up to this time he used to sleep up to 8, 10 o'clock in the morning. Now he is getting up at 3:30, he is going to the temple, he is carrying Tulsi Mala in the neck, and he is also having these beads back. Maybe he has some plans in his mind, who knows, what is it? Like that, people will start talking. This is common in this world, there's nothing unusual about it. People have this tendency, they'll think that once you start going to the temple to see Krishna and to hear, and then they will say, oh, the other day I saw him, somebody was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he was sitting there listening to it. There must be something definitely happening in his life. They'll make comments also like that. Because ordinary people, you're not expected to do all these things. You're expected to be busy in your material life. So like this, comments will start. And then suddenly, suppose by accident he took a lottery ticket and he has won the lottery also. That's enough then. Then the whole neighborhood, there will be only one discussion. Look at this now. He has been going to temple. He must have been praying to Krishna for the lottery. And he has got it. See, Krishna has given him the lottery also. So this is the normal world. The ordinary people are like this in this world. That is not going to change. That will always remain like that. Because people respect these things. These are the things people respect. Money in this world, position in this world, good clothes to wear, and a good place to live. For example, in the modern world, good cars to drive, and all opulences. And that kind of lifestyle, that is what people respect. They don't respect otherwise. Other things, they don't care for it. It's a story about that. One, a great sannyasi once, went up to, by accident, met in a meeting or somewhere, a very, very, very wealthy person. So this wealthy person saw these sannyasis in his clothes. And generally, very wealthy people will have this feeling in their mind, look, I have made my life, I have been successful in life. And they also have, they will look down upon the people like devotees, sannyasis and all, thinking that, oh, he couldn't make it in his life, so he has gone and taken sannyas. That's what they will think. And even, why to talk about sannyas, even if you become a devotee, they will say like that he couldn't make it in his material life, therefore he has taken to this kind of sadhu's life, they will say like, it's more in India than here. Here no one cares anything, whatever dress you wear, wherever you walk in whichever, as long as you don't give trouble to others, you're fine. But in India this is quite common, that they will make comments like that. As soon as you become a sadhu, or you or you take to sannyasi clothes, the comments will be naturally that, poor man, what can we do? You know, he hasn't got, his material life is finished, he has become a sannyasi, or he has become a devotee. All these kind of comments will come. So this sannyasi met this very wealthy person. And the wealthy person wanted to tell the sannyasi like this. He said to him that, I do so much charity, so much money I give in charity every year. I do so many different kinds of charities. And I got so much wealth here, so much wealth there. Sannyasi was listening to all these things for quite a while. He was beating his own drum and telling him that all kinds of charity work what he was doing, and also spiritual work, what he was offering wealth to different people in different ways for construction, temple constructions, and different projects, what he was very lavishly donating money for. Sannyasi heard all these things and he thought, this person has kept everything in his mind, didn't say anything. He said, that's very nice what you are doing, let's keep it going like that. And he just really was trying to impress sannyasi with his charity and donations and everything. After he went home, sannyasi thought, let me have some fun about this now. So what he did was, he took away his sannyasi clothes away and dressed up himself like a beggar. Completely like a beggar's clothes he put on. And on top of that, he put a fine jacket and suit and everything, tie, everything nicely dressed up with a hat on. When this incident happened, there was no telephones or anything. You couldn't make appointment with people like the way you do today. So sannyasi straight away walked into his house. And when he walked in, this wealthy person did not recognize him. He could not recognize him, who it was, that it was the same sannyasi whom he saw before. But seeing his clothes and all that, he felt that this person must be a very rich man, and he dressed up and spoke very nicely. So he received him nicely at home, and asked him what was the purpose of his visit and everything. So he said to him, I'm an industrialist and we are planning to develop some business. And for that, I was offering my floating my shares in the business and would like you to also take a part of the business. And some business conversation started. Seeing the personality's talk and the way he was dressed and everything, this person also decided to cooperate with him and work with him to develop the business. So he also agreed to take some shares in the business. And he asked more, whether he would like him to take more. But he said, no, that much, that's enough, some particular number of shares or something. He said, if you take, that's enough, he said. And then a lot of discussions happened about different business and all that. And after that, Sannyasi said goodbye to him and left. He went away. And after some time, he threw away all the Sannyasi's clothes. And fully dressed up like a beggar, he with a stick in the hand and a pot for begging, he went up to his house. When he went up to his house, as soon as he started opening the gate, what he did was, he immediately released his dogs to get him out from there. So the dogs came and started barking at him, so that he couldn't come in anymore. Like some people do like that, isn't it? The dogs will bark at you. The dogs are your hosts as soon as you come to the house. They welcome you with their barking. You are going to visit somebody, they are welcoming you with their bark. Come on, come in. Why have you come here? This is the attitude. So they started barking like this. So he left there. He didn't even go in. He went away from there. Then he came back, put back his sannyasi clothes, and on top of and then, for top of that, he put his suit back again, and went back to him again. This all happened in the same day. After many hours, he went back this third time when he went like this. So the wealthy person again received him nicely this time. And because he had got servants and all who will report to him, somebody has come and, you know, and he was welcomed and he went in. When he went in, he wanted to find out why have you come back. He said, I wanted to talk something more, a few things more, he said. So by now, the wealthy man, the host, has ordered to bring some food and drinks and everything for him. You have to imagine that, like the wealthy people, how they welcome you to their houses. So when they brought all those things, you know what our sannyasi did? He removed his hat, he removed his jacket, he removed his shirts and pants and everything and put it on the chair and where the food was being served, and he went and sat in another table away from there on another chair. So he could not understand why you are doing all these things. So the sannyasi said to him that all this reception you were giving to me was all that clothes, isn't it? You are welcoming that clothes. That clothes, what was that was made you to welcome me when I came here twice before. And so actually all this offering is not for me, it's for the clothes, what I was wearing. So the clothes will eat it now. You can offer it all what you want, he said to him. And he walked out from there. Didn't say one word after that. So this is normal in this world. This is nothing is new about it. Wherever you go in this world, this is the nature of the people. People respect all these kind of things. They do not want to hear from you, a sannyasi or a sadhu, what you have come for. Either you have come to ask for donation, that's what the first thing, they will look at you and think about it. So this is the nature of the material world. That's what Krishna is saying here. But Krishna is concerned, it's not like that. As far as Krishna is concerned, if one is to make a person sick, if that is what will help him to become a devotee, Krishna will give him an illness to someone. And if a person has to come out of the illness so that he'll become a devotee, Krishna will take away his illness. If a person has to become rich and feel materially opulent to become a devotee, Krishna will give him the opulences. And if opulence is becoming a problem for that person to become a devotee, Krishna will take away his opulences. So as far as Krishna is concerned, there is no law, hard and fast rule, that this is what Krishna will do to a person. What is that will help a person to become a devotee? That is what Krishna thinks. Krishna doesn't think any other thing. As far as Krishna is concerned, all these opulences have no meaning. It is for our mind, opulences and other things are important. So, Sadhu Rupagunaudaryam Sambanna Prahakeshavam Uttariyandamakrishya Smayandi Jadakrichaya Ehi Viragraham Yamo Natvam Tektumihol Sahi Toyon Matidajitaya Prasida Purusharshavam
एवं स्त्रिया याच्यमानं कृष्णो रामस्य पश्यत मुखं वीक्ष्यानि गोपानां प्रहसंस्तामुवाचः एष्यामि नये गृहं सुब्रूपं सामादिविकर्षणं साधितोऽर्थो गृहाणां न पान्धानं ते परायणं विसृज्यामाध्वा वाण्यातां व्रजन्मार्गे वणिक्पथै नानोपायनताम्बूलं स्रग्गन्धैः साग्रयोर्च्छिताः सद्दर्शन स्मर क्षोदात्मानं नाविदन् स्त्रिया विस्रस्तवास कबरवलया लेख्यमूर्तयाः तत पौरान् पृच्छमानो धनुषस्थानमच्युत तस्मिन् प्रविष्टो ददृशे धनुरैरिन्द्रमवाल्भुतम् पुरुषैर्बहुभिर्गुप्तमर्चितम् परमर्थिमल् वार्यमाणो नृभिः कृष्ण प्रसह्य धनुरादधे नौ कृष्ण इस् फिनिश्ड् वित् कुब्जा एण्ड् द नेक्स्ट् थिङ्ग् कृष्ण इन्क्वैर्ड् इस् वेर् दिस् कृष्ण कंसस् Dhanuryagam is going to happen, which is the what is called as the Yagashala. Yagashala means the place where the bow is worshipped. As I mentioned before, that the the deity was in the form of a bow, Kalabhairava, who is one of the associates of Lord Shiva. This place where Krishna Kamsa had installed this temple, Kamsa has installed this temple. That was a Vishnu temple before. Kamsa has decided to get rid of that Vishnu's deity from there. Vishnu's deity was taken out from there and installed this form of associate of Lord Shiva known as Kalabhairava. Kalabhairava's deity was installed. And the deity of Kalabhairava was in the form of a bow. The bow which was worshipped by Kamsa. So that was the temple where the Kalabhairava was worshipped. So Krishna wanted to see this temple where Kalabhairava was worshipped. And when he got there, what he saw there was the very, very opulent way of worship. And inside the temple room, he saw this bow sitting like this, which is bent like this, isn't it? The bow is bent. Krishna started thinking, everyone seems to be bent here. The people are bent. The god is also bent. Even the god does not have a straight body, he thought himself. What's wrong with this place? Krishna started thinking like this. That's what Krishna's thought went straight away. So, I have sorted out the person who has already a body which was bent. Now I have to sort out the god also, whom they are worshipping. So before, Krishna, they could say, normally no one will enter into the temple room, would they? It's not possible. It's understood, everyone follows that rule. And all times it is normal. You don't enter into certain places in the temple. You haven't got the freedom to go there. So Krishna was not going to go there, they thought. And they had guards waiting outside to make sure that no one had broken the law. So when Krishna walked in, they never thought that Krishna was going to enter into the temple room like that. Before he could say, don't get in, Krishna got in already. He walked in, didn't say anything to him. Krishna looked back at him when he said to him, don't get in, he said. Don't get in, he said. He tried to put a stop. Krishna just looked at him. And as he got in, the bow was there. And he saw the bow, he just took it in his hand. Before the person could say anything that don't touch it, he has broken it. The bow was broken, bend it and broken it. The god is finished. God was broken into two pieces. And he handed over one piece to Balaram. Balaram was there, gave it to one piece. Told Balaram, you manage with this part of the god, and I'll take the other part of the god, and I will handle the rest of it, he said. And with that one part of the god, what he had in his hand, he smashed that two people who were waiting there, who stopped him from doing what Krishna was doing. So this is how Krishna has acted. And as soon as Krishna did this, immediately everyone started running away from there. They got frightened. All Krishna's associates, Kamsa's associates were there, some of them, and they all started running away from there. So when this is how that incident happened, that Krishna goes into the Dhanuryagam or the Yagashala, and there this incident happened. Tadapauran prachamano dhanushasthanam achyudaha tasmin pravishto dadrishe dhanurendram ivalbhudam purushair bahubir guptam archidam paramardhimal varyamano nrubi krishna prasahya dhanuradadeem. Then karena vamena salila mudhratam सज्जम जगृत्वा निमिषेण पश्यतां नृणां विगृह्य प्रभवञ्च मध्य दोयदे क्षुदण्डं मदगैरिरुक्रमाम् that when Krishna broke that, just like they say the sugar cane
sticks, how they it's broken. Exactly with such an ease, Krishna has broken that. Nrinam vikrishya prabhavan jamadhyado yadekshutannam madagari rukrama dhanushobajyamanasya shabdhagam rodasi disha purayamasayam shutva kamsastra asamubhagamal. Then when the bow was broken, the sound of breaking the bow has gone so high that Kamsa got frightened by the sound of the breaking the bow. Kamsa was getting a lot of signals by now that he has already heard what has happened in the streets. This was all signals to Kamsa that that the day is not too far. So Kamsa got the message, and now with this breaking of the bow, Kamsa really got understood that some who has come is Vishnu. Himself had come. Tadrakshina Dhanishobhajyamanasya Shabdhagam Rodasidisha Purayamasayam Shutva Kamsastra Samubhagamal Tadrakshina Sanujaraha Kubidamadadainaha Grahidugama Avabro Grahyadam Bhajyadamidin. That everyone got very upset with Krishna, and they all decided that they should kill Krishna and Balaram. Adhadandra Viprayan Vilokya Balageshavo Kruddhau Dhanunamadaya Shagaletamscha Jagnadhum. That Krishna and Balaram didn't show any mercy. When they saw that they were coming to fight with Krishna and Balaram, they used that bow very effectively and killed many of them. Balam ja kamsa prahidam hatva shala mukhatada nishkrama jara dhrishtau nirikshya purasambhadaha. Kamsa sent an army there at that time, but did not bother. Krishna and Balaram did not bother at all. They started walking through the streets again, and looking at the beauty of the city, they went back to their place where the others were resting. Tayostadbhudam miryam nishamya punarvasina teja pragalbhirubam jameni re vibhadottamam. Then by now the people of Mathura had heard the whole news, and when they heard all these things, they were also started walking behind Krishna and Balaram. It's not unusual, isn't it, when you know that somebody is going to be the next prime minister or the next president? It's common, isn't it? Even today you will see, when the election is over, if somebody wins, all the party people will be behind him walking everywhere. So, because their man has come into the power, isn't it? So here also the people are not different. They have come to know that already the speculation has started in Mathura, that in another couple of days' time, Krishna and Balaram have come, they have come to kill Kamsa. They will say so much, and they won't say after that anything. And after that, they will quietly say to each other that after Kamsa is killed, they are going to take over the administration. They will say like this, each other. So they were already sure now that Krishna and Balaram has come to challenge Kamsa. So naturally, they wanted to be with their new leader, new ruler, who is going to rule the country. So they wanted to be in their good books. So they were following Krishna all over. That's what you find there. So many people comes like a procession. It was going through the streets of Mathura. Krishna and Balaram in the front with the cowherd boys, and followed by masses of people who were enjoying the Krishna's pastimes, which was happening there. Now, what happens to Krishna now? Tayor virajado vijarado swairam adityostam upeyivan Krishna ramau brudau gobe pura chakadamiyadum. Sri Shukan says here that the sun has gone to take a bath today. That's how he puts it there. Tadoyur vicharadau swayam aditya ostamubeyivan Krishna rama vrudau gobei pura chakadamiyadum. Why? He wanted to go that the sun was setting at that time, because sun has thought apparently that I will bathe myself and clean myself and come back tomorrow morning for to see what's going to happen to Kamsa. So even the sun was preparing for this big event, what was going to happen the next day. And Krishna went back to the forest where the others were resting. All the cowherd boys were resting there, and also Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men. So this night Krishna was in a very serious mood. Very serious mood. Sridham was with Krishna that night, and Krishna was talking a few things to Sridham in the night about the plan for tomorrow, the next day. And Krishna in his mind was analyzing about killing Kamsa. First of all, after all, this is uncle, isn't it? Suppose you have to kill your uncle, how much you have to think, isn't it? So same thing, it's not different. Killing uncle is not an easy thing. So sometimes they say, even a blind uncle is still better, isn't it? So similarly. So uncle is an uncle at the end. And Krishna was making these plans for tomorrow. And a lot of things were going through Krishna's mind. And Krishna was, at the same time, Krishna was tired after the whole day walking through the streets and everything. And Nanda Maharaj opened up the food packet, which was brought from Vrindavanam. Mother Yashoda has packed everything and given to Akrura and Nanda Maharaj plenty of food and packed various things, different kinds of preparations, because only she knew what Krishna likes. So accordingly, Yashoda Devi has packed everything and given and told Krishna and Balaram, this is what you should eat in the morning, this is what you should eat in the midday, this is for the evening, like this, all separately packed and given. But this particular time when Krishna was taking the food, Krishna cried. Personality who is never frightened, because it was this thought that came to Krishna's mind. When will I eat my mother's food again? Mother Yashoda has, this is the last time that Krishna has eaten Mother Yashoda's food. And now, when will I eat again? These thoughts came in Krishna's heart, Krishna's mind. And in front of Sridham, some tears came from Krishna's eyes. And Sridham asked this question to Krishna, and Krishna says to Sridham that Yashoda's preparations was so nice that I would not know when I will eat that again. A remark Krishna made at that time. And apparently that after this incident, we don't see any time Yashoda Devi has prepared food for Krishna. Perhaps it has happened later on, when they came for the marriage, Rukmini's, and that is why, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, later on in Dwaraka, that is when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda comes for the marriage, Krishna's marriage. That's a nice time, and there was a big feast prepared. I don't know whether Yashoda Devi has cooked anything for Krishna at that time. By now, Krishna has grown up. He has become so big. He was controlling the whole show in the among the kings, and he was a prince, powerful personality that time. But that little boy Krishna, who was enjoying Mother Yashoda's food, this was the last time Krishna has taken that. So naturally Krishna was affected by that. And then the whole night they were conversing each other about various plans for the next day, various things for the next day. And in the in the night, They didn't sleep very well. And you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam what they are saying about that. Gopyo mukunda vigami viraha turaya shasida shishakrado madhuvirya bhuvan sambashyadam purushabhushanagatra lakshmim hitvedaran nubhajanachakamayanam shreem. That Tayor Vijarado Swayramadistyostamubeyivan Krishna Ramo Vrdavagami Purachakadamiyadu Gopio Mukunda Vigami Virahaduraya Ashasidashishkrda Madhubirya Bhuvan Sambashyadam Purushabhushanagatra Lakshmim Hitvedarannu Vajadashchakameyanam Shreem. In the few verses now, you can see the mood of the women in Mathura, how they were saying Krishna at that time. That then Sri Shuman says there that the women of Mathura, they were experiencing all what the gopis have spoken when Krishna left Vrindavanam. Amanitvangri Yugalo Bhutva Kshiro Bachachanam Ushadustvam Sukham Ratrim Yatva Kamsajir Shadam. And they slept off that night after having their meal. And in the next day, Kamsa was organizing for this big wrestling match. Kamsastudanisho bhangam rakshinam suvalaseja vadham nishamya govindarama vikreditam param. That next day, they got up, they hearing this mala, the playing of the drums, which was necessary for the which was necessary for starting the wrestling match. Kamsastudanisho bhangam rakshinam subalasya vatham nishamya govinda rama vikreditam param. Krishna and Balaram, how they entered into the sacrificial arena and how playfully they broke the bow, all these things, and all these things comes ahead very nicely. Dirga Prajagaro Bhido, from now on, it tells about situation in Kamsa's palace, what's happening. Dirga Prajagaro Bhido, Durnimitani Durmadi, Bahunya Jashto, Bhaida Murtyo, Dautyagarani Jam. That because of all the thoughts that was coming through, because by now Kamsa has got the clear indication that they are going to come. And when he got the realization that Kamsa couldn't sleep at that night. Not only that, some of the omen, what was happening, very bad omen started appearing. And that is what in the next 3 or 4 verses. Some of them in the vacant state, some of them when he went to sleep, he started dreaming. And in the dreams also he started getting different omens. That's the omens are discussed there.
Adarshanam Soshirasa Pratirubeja Satyabi Asatyabidyadiyeja Dvairupyam Vairupyam Jyotisham Tadha.
So, there is 1, 2, 3, nearly 4 verses of different omens. Now, after hearing all these omens, don't go home and start checking it out. That if these omens are happening to me, because this is quite common with people, that they read all these things and they start thinking, because the fear of death is in everyone. There's no one free from that. So, these symptoms of death, there are symptoms of death. Actually, it can be known also. There is a science behind it, that before death happens, there are certain symptoms will appear in the body. Externally also, some certain symptoms will be there. There was a time when people knew all these things, how different symptoms will manifest. There are different subtle laws in this world. You can also see this. Some instances, for example, if a person who is very close to death, you can see this yourself practically happening. That in Ayurveda, it is a system when somebody is very ill and it's very close to death, and if you bring a very good physician at that time, and the physician has understood what the problem is, and he wanted to start a new treatment, and if it is very close to Purnami or Amavasi, he will not start the treatment till that's over. Because normally, any disease or illness what you have, it is likely to increase at the time when this full tide happens, or the moon has got this 2 times in a month, isn't it? Every 15 days, Purnami and Amavasya, or full moon day or the new moon day. At this time, illnesses will increase naturally in the body. And if someone is close to death, it is very possible that he will die at that time. Often you can check this out yourself. When someone is dying out of illnesses, some illness, and if it is close to death, he will most probably likely to die either of these 2 days. Very close to that. And it is some unknown thing, but it is known to the physician. So naturally they will avoid the treatment, new treatment, till that's over. If they see that, if he survives that, then they will start the new treatment. If not, they will give it up at that time. So similarly, the symptoms of death is also there. These are very subtle things in the Shastram. All these things are there. Some of these symptoms are mentioned here.
Adarsanam, Adarshanam, Soshirasam.
That when Kamsa started looking in the mirror and in the water, things which are very, very pure, his head was missing. There.
Adarshanam, Soshirasam, Pradirube, Eja, Satyavi. Asatyami dhuti eja vairupyam jyotisham tadam.
That when he started looking at sun, moon and such entities, when he started looking at them, he started seeing as though 2 of them are there instead of 1. When he looked at the moon, there was 2 moons he started seeing. And in the sun also he started seeing 2 suns. Similarly, they had a lot of lamps lit there. At every lamp, when he started looking, there were 2 lamps. He started seeing 2 lamps, although there was only 1. Sometimes he went and checked with his hand if there is 2. But there wasn't, there was only 1. And he started seeing 2 at that time. So like this you can see that Kamsa was seeing some of the bad omens there.
Chidrapradidishchayayam pranaghoshanubashruvi swarnapradidirvrikshesu subhadanamadarshanam.
Then sometimes when he looked at his own and his own reflections in the mirror, he saw there is some holes in his body. Now here and there, some different holes in his body. And when he closed his ears with the hands, he could not hear the beating of the heart, which normally you could hear a little bit if it, no other sound comes to you, or you couldn't hear that. So all these different kinds of omens came. Swarnapradedara vrikshesum, that trees he started seeing yellowish color. That's another thing. Svabhadana madarshanam, that when he looked at his own markings in the ground, he couldn't see them. And all these things he saw in this vacant state. Now in the next verse, he's saying what he saw in his dream state. Swapne praedamarishvanga gharayanam vishadanam yayam naladam alokyam What he saw in his dream state was that he started seeing dead people who are dead and gone. They were coming back and embracing him in the sleep. You can imagine somebody whom he had forgotten, who died and gone away from this world. They were coming back in the sleep and was embracing Kamsa. Then he also experienced that he was traveling on top of a donkey, sitting on the donkey. And then also the red flower, a garland of red flower, was, he felt that he was wearing this red flower and walking around, red flower garland. He was massaging oil on his body and sitting completely naked. Things like that, all he saw in his dream. So, Svapne Praedabhayishwanga Kharayanam Vishadhanam Yayam Naladamal Yega Sthaila Abhyakto Digambara Anyani Chetam Bhudani Svapna Jagaridani Ja Pashyan Marana Sandrasto Nidram Lebhe Machindayam. That these things were sufficient for Kamsa to give a strong indication that death has come. Because he did not want any more. Kamsa was an intelligent person and he also knew these things, the science of all these things. See, these things have all disappeared from this world now. Now all you know is that you got this telescope and you keep checking if the person is dead or gone. That's all. And the doctor tells you that's it. The doctor is the best astrologer also. He tell you. So he says to you that this finished now, you can take him, carry him to the next destination, wherever it is. So that is the modern thing. But all these subtle things were known at one time to many, many people. And they had the capacity. But it is better not to say too much about it, as I mentioned before, because it so happened once that somebody, he wanted to reduce his weight. He was so much excess weight in his body. So he went up to the physician and told him that, I don't want health or anything. I have enough health, good health. I don't want to die either, but I want to lose my weight, he said to the physician. He says to him, I just want to lose my weight. So in Ayurveda, losing weight means that Ayurveda, the losing weight is by he says to him that before we start the treatment, give it a week's time, he said. I'll give a week's time. After that, if you come back. So this patient who wanted to reduce the weight so told the physician that why is it like that? After a week, we could start the treatment. So the physician said to him that things are not looking very good. That there is a lot of indications that you may not survive more than a week. He gave him this answer to him. So what's the point in starting a treatment when you know that there is no possibility of survival? But if you do survive after a week, come back to me and then we will start. He was a very well-known physician, so you have to remember. He was a well-known physician. He was a well-known physician, so naturally, he could not ignore his advice. After all, he has said that he has got only a week's life left. So he went home and started thinking about it. And thinking about it, he started losing weight. So almost a week was gone. He didn't die. But he lost a lot of weight because of the fear of death. So this thing called the fear of death, it's not a simple thing. Once you are stuck with that fear, the moment it hits you, only then you will know what it's like. Up to that point you can say, oh, I don't care, I'm not bothered. When a lot of people will say like this, you know, when death comes, we will see at that time, this, that and the other. You will say so many things. But the moment it hits you, then you will realize it, how powerful the effect is on you, on anyone, any one of us. It can be like that. That is the power of that powerful thing called that. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Mrityu sarvaharashyaham. I am that death who comes in front of you, who don't trust in me, who doesn't believe in me. I come to them at the end in the form of death. So similarly, here, this person, after a week, he lost a lot of weight, but he didn't die. So he goes back to the physician again. So physician told him, that what happened? He said, I didn't die. Yeah, but you didn't ask me that you want, tell me that you want to die. You wanted to lose weight, isn't it? He said, and that's the medicine for that. He said, all you have to do is to tell someone that he's going to die in a few days or a month. So that automatically you lose his weight. Because of that fear of death is enough for him to lose his weight. So this is not a joke. These things are happening sometimes. Because Ayurveda is concerned, you are putting overweight only because of one thing, eating too much. That's all. More than, because according to Ayurveda, what we eat today, what we eat in one day is enough for three people to survive for 4 days. One person is eating so much nowadays. And then you keep running miles and miles up and down, jogging or whatever you call it. You have to do all these different kinds of things to get the, what has gone in, the calories they calculate and tell you that I have to get rid of so many calories. But basically it is overeating. That's where this problem has come. So naturally Ayurveda is concerned. The problem for overeating is that you have to have, and plus a comfortable life, no anxieties. If you have these two things combined together, then naturally you are going to put on weight. You will eat very well because you have no anxiety. You will enjoy the food very well, isn't it? So naturally you will eat very well. Every day will be a feast. And and then you will say that, oh, you can only enjoy when you have the body, isn't it? When you are old, you can't eat anyhow. So all these kind of excuses will start from there. So you can find, so the physician decided that this person is going to get affected only if I tell him, that he's going to die. So he used that weapon to get his weight down. And that's what he did to him. So these are things to mention, indicate that death is such a powerful thing when it comes and hits you. And when you get the indication that time has come to go from this world, all this association and friendship and relationship and all this, what we have created for 50, 60, 70 years, in one stroke, it comes to an end. So that's the message from there. Prushyayam nishikauravya surye chalbha samuthide karayama samai kamso mallakrida maholsavam. That even after all these things, Kamsa didn't think. Kamsa's mind did not go in the right direction. He did not go to Krishna to take shelter. Still he thought, what did he think? How to kill Krishna. This was going through Kamsa's mind. Anarchu purusharangam Turyabhairyascha jagnire manjascha alankrita sragbhi padaga jaila toranai teshu paura janavada brahmakshatra purogamaha yathopa josham vivishu rajanascha kridasanaham. Then Kamsa, as soon as in the morning, because he hasn't slept whole night, when he woke up in the morning, first thing what he did was he organized the festival to start straight away. He told the wrestlers and all the drummers to go there and start declaring that the wrestling match is going to start very soon and people should be informed about it. So that is what Kamsa has organized. And he wanted, and Kamsa wanted all the wrestlers to come to the scene and to show their skills in front of everybody. So the people enjoy that. Anarcha purusharangam turya bhairyascha jagnire manjascha alankrita sragbhi padaka ajaila toraneya. Then places were very properly decorated. And also flags, garlands, and nice clothes, everything was hung around to make it more attractive. And Kamsa has done everything to invite people. Teshu paura janavada brahmakshatra virogamaha yathopa dosham vishura janascha kridasanaham. That all people have come and started taking their seats in the place, in the wrestling arena. That there, all the people from Mathura and people who have come from outside, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, they all have occupied their respective places. And many, many kings have come. Kamsa's subordinates, they have also come. They have also seated in their throne.
കംസ പരിവൃതോ മാത്യൈ രാജമഞ്ച ഉപാവിശൽ മണ്ഡലേശ്വര മധ്യസ്ഥോഹതയേന വിദൂയതാം. ദ കംസ ഓൾസോ അലോങ് വിത്ത് ഹിസ് മിനിസ്റ്റേഴ്സ് ദേ ഓൾസോ ഹാവ് കം ആൻഡ് കിങ് വാസ് സീറ്റഡ് റൈറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ മിഡിൽ ഇൻ ഹിസ് ബിഗ് ത്രോൺ അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു ദി അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു ദി പൊസിഷൻ ഓഫ് ദി കിംഗ്ലി ത്രോൺ ആൻഡ് അലോങ് വിത്ത് ഹിം ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഓൾസോ വാസ് തിങ്കിങ് അബൌട്ട് ഓൾ ദി ഡ്രീംസ് വാട്ട് ഹി ഹാഡ് ദ നൈറ്റ് ബിഫോർ ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദി ബാഡ് ഓമെൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വാസ് disturbing his mind, and in his mind he was thinking what is going to happen. These thoughts were coming very strongly in his mind. And vadyamaneshu duryeshu mallanalo tereshu jamalla sulangrada drupta sobhadhyaya samavishan, that mallas, these fight wrestlers, they started beating their hands and also showing or challenging each other and making a good display of their skills to the people who were present there, and they were also very very proud of their strength in the body. Chanuro mushtika kuda shalasto shalameva tamase durvasthanam valgo adya praharshidaah, that they were prepared to fight, and chanura mushtika and kuda shala toshala, they were all the very prominent ones, and they enjoyed the beating of the drums, because the drummers were also paid very well, and they were brought from outside who could play these drums very well and make excitement to all the people who are present there. They were all ready there to see the fight. And these wrestlers, they were showing their skills, different skills, to everyone who are present there in order to give them some happiness. Sandagobada yogoba bhojaraja samahudaha nivedidobai naste ekasmin manjamavishan. Nandamaharaj has come with other cowherd boys according to Kamsa's invitation. And he has presented all the gifts to Kamsa, and in a group they have also come and occupied their seats in the arena. Idi Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurane Dashamaskande Purvardhe Kubjasurupadanadi Rupanam Nama Dvijatvarimshodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Shukavaja Atha Krishnascha Ramascha കൃതശൗചൗ പരന്തവ മല്ലാധുന്ദവി നിർഘോഷം ശ്രുത്വാ ദ്രഷ്ടുമുപേയതും. ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ വോക്ക് അപ്പ് ഇൻ ദ മോർണിംഗ് ആൻഡ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ക്ലീനിംഗ് ഹിസ് ടീത്ത് ആൻഡ് ബേത്തിംഗ് എവറിഥിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് ബലരാം ഹേർഡ് ദിസ് സൗണ്ട് ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് ദെയർ ജേർണി ആൻഡ് വാണ്ടഡ് ടു എൻജോയ് ആൻഡ് കെയിം ടു ദ പ്ലേസ് വേർ ദി റെസ്ലിംഗ് മാച്ച് വാസ് ഓർഗനൈസ്ഡ്. കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് ബലരാം അലോങ് വിത്ത് ഹിസ് ഫ്രണ്ട്സ് ഹിസ് കം ദെയർ. രംഗദ്വാരം സമാസാദ്യ തസ്മിൻ നാഗമവസ്ഥിതം അപശ്യൽ കുവലയാ പീഠം കൃഷ്ണോ അംബഷ്ട പ്രചോദിതം. ദാറ്റ് വെൻ ഹി കെയിം ദർ അറ്റ് ദ വെരി എൻട്രൻസ് ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ് കംസ ഹാസ് സ്റ്റേഷൻഡ് എ വെരി ബിഗ് ആൻഡ് പവർഫുൾ എലിഫന്റ് കോൾഡ് കുവലയാ പീഠം. കുവലയാ പീഠം വാസ് ആസ്ക്ഡ് ടു സ്റ്റേ ദർ ആൻഡ് ദി ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ടു ദി എലിഫന്റ് കീപ്പർ ഓഫ് മഹൌത്ത് വാസ് ദാറ്റ് വെൻ കൃഷ്ണൻ ബലറാം കംസ് ദർ ഷുഡ് നോട്ട് ബി അലൌഡ് ഇൻ സൈഡ് ആൻഡ് ഹി വാസ് സ്പെസിഫിക്കലി ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ടഡ് ദാറ്റ് he should use Kuvalaya Peedam to kill Krishna. That was the instruction from Kamsa to this elephant keeper or Mahat. So when Krishna and Balaram came there, the Kuvalaya Peedam was standing there on the entrance, and Krishna and Balaram looked at the Kuvalaya Peedam. So this Mahat also is a very proud person. He is one of associates of Kamsa, like that washerman, one of them, who would not listen to anybody because he is associate of Kamsa. That he was very proud, and at the same time, a lot of ego in him as well. And because of all these things, Krishna knew his attitude, what it was like. And Kamsa has given him some high title. What his name is mentioned somewhere as Mahamatra, or that is his name, Mahamatra. That's the name. Kamsa has given him a big name like that, Mahamatra and all that. Krishna knew everything but wouldn't say one thing, one word to him. But went up to him and told him that, take this elephant away from there so we can go in. Very nicely, Krishna puts it to him. So when Krishna, the way Krishna says, you can see in the verse next. Badhva parigaram shauri samuhya kudilalagan vajahastivam vajah meghanada gabirayaha. Krishna's sound was very clear tone. Krishna spoke to him, and what did Krishna say? അമ്പഷ്ടമാർഗം നോ ദേഹ്യവക്രമമാചിരം നോ ചേൽസ കുഞ്ചനം ത്വാദ്യ നയാമീയം സാധനം. കൃഷ്ണ ഡെലിബറേറ്റ്ലി വാണ്ടഡ് ടു അജിറ്റേറ്റ് ഹിം. ഇന്റൻഷനലി ഹി സ്പോക്ക് ലൈക് ദിസ്. കൃഷ്ണ നെവർ സ്പോക്ക് ലൈക് ദിസ് ടു എനിബഡി ബിഫോർ. ആൻഡ് ദ വേർഡ് കൃഷ്ണ യൂസ് വാസ് അമ്പഷ്ട. അമ്പഷ്ട ഈസ് എ വെരി ലോ വേ ഓഫ് അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് സംബഡി. കൃഷ്ണ ന്യൂ ദാറ്റ് ഹി വാസ് വെരി പ്രൗഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് കംസസ് പേഴ്സണൽ സെർവന്റ് ആൻഡ് കംസ ഹാഡ് ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് ട്രസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ഹിം. And therefore, his title was Mahamatra, but Krishna never used any such title. Instead, he called him Ambashta. Not only he called him once, twice he called him Ambashta. Hey, Ambashta, Ambashta. You can see that. Ambashta, Ambashta, Margam, no dekhya vakrama vachiram. Hey, Ambashta, Ambashta, he calls him twice and says to him, can you let me go through this way now? I want to go through this way, he said. That don't keep him on the route, the elephant. നോ ചേൽ സകുഞ്ചരം ത്വാദ്യ നയാമി യമസാധനം. ഇഫ് നോട്ട് യു അലോങ് വിത്ത് ദീസ് എലിഫന്റ്സ് വിൽ ഗോ ടു യമാസ് അബോർഡ്, യമധർമ്മരാജ അബോർഡ്. കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ടു ഹിം വെരി ബ്ലണ്ട്ലി ടു ഹിം അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പോയിന്റ്. ഡിഡ്ന്റ് ഷോ എനി സ്വീറ്റ് ടോൺ, നത്തിങ് ലൈക് ദാറ്റ്. ഏവം നിർഭർസിതോ അംബഷ്ട കുബിത കോപിതം ഗജം ചോദയാമാസ കൃഷ്ണായ കാലാന്തക യമോമം. ദാറ്റ് വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ലൈക് ദിസ് ഇന്റൻഷൻലി ടു അജിറ്റേറ്റ് ഹിസ് മൈൻഡ്, he really got wild, and Krishna wanted him to get agitated in his mind, and make him angry. And Krishna spoke like this, and really he got so angry. The result was that he reacted straight away. He says to Karindra samabhidrutya karena tarasa agrahil karadvili garadvigalida somam nihatyangri sholiyadam. That he jumped onto the top of the elephant straight away. And you know, they have this spear, they have got a very long spear. What they do normally, these elephants, if you observe them carefully, you'll see behind their ear, the elephants, it's a very sensitive point. We also have a sensitive point, isn't it? So they will take this spear and kick them here, hit them here at the back of the ears, and that will make them very wild, very angry. And also, the sitting on the top of the elephant, this Mahout, or Ambashta as Krishna calls him, Ambashta started kicking him at the back of his ears. First hitting him, poking this spear at the back of the ears, and then start hitting these ears with his legs, sitting on the top of the elephant. And that made him really wild. And the instruction was that he should jump on Krishna straight away and kill him. So Ambashta, Ambashta margam nau dehya vakramamachiram no jail sakunjaram twadya nayamiyam sadanam evam nirbhasido Ambashta kubida kovidam gajam chodayamasa krishnaya kala andagayavomam yamopamam karindrasam abhidyutra drutya karena darasa grahil karadvigalida somam nihatyangushvaliyanam sakkusam kruddastama chakshano ghana drishti sakeshavam paramrishal pushkarena saprasahya vinirgadaha. That what did the elephant do? That when the elephant started, when the elephant tried to hold Krishna with his trunk, and he has got two big tusks standing there. It's a male elephant, and the two long tusks and the big long the trunk also. And with the trunk, he held Krishna together, and Krishna escaped from that. And punched on the forehead of the elephant. Elephant's forehead, you find that is a place normally they punch. And when they hit, one elephant hit the other also, they'll hit there, because that's a very powerful place where it can it's quickly put him down. So that's what Krishna did. Krishna got into the middle of the legs and started playing there. Elephant couldn't do anything. When elephant turned around, Krishna also turned around and started moving back and forth, making the elephant very, very angry. That pushke puche pragrihya adibalam dhanushat panjam vimshadim vijagarsha yadhanagam suvarnami valilayam. That Krishna was not concerned. Krishna was more interested in messing around with the elephant for a while. That Krishna, at one particular point, when elephant got tired, he wanted to
hit Krishna. At some point, Krishna fell on the ground. So elephant Kulayabhinam wanted to kill Krishna, and with a lot of force punched on Krishna with both the tusks. But unfortunately, what happened was, when Kulayabhinam used all his force to hit Krishna with the two tusks, the two tusks went into the ground. Krishna immediately moved away from there. Krishna's skill was such that he moved away from there. Elephant could not touch Krishna. Before that, Krishna escaped from there. But unfortunately for Kulayabhinam, something else happened. When he pushed this, because with such a force he hit Krishna, the two tusks has gone into the ground. And it went so deep inside, he could not pull it out straight away. And Sri Ishwan says, there is another reason also. Bhumi Devi, who is Krishna's wife, isn't it? Is Krishna's wife. Sridhara, Shlishta Varsham, Bhumi Devi and Lakshmi Devi. They are Krishna's on either side. In Vishnu's wives they are. So she realized that my husband is going to be killed by him. Let him hand over his tusks to me. And she held them there. So he could not pull it out. He could not pull out the tusks easily from the ground. Krishna appreciated that act of Bhumi Devi at that time. You see, Krishna's control everything, material life, material world, spiritual world, everything material elements, everything is under Krishna's control. So there is no question of trying to fight with Krishna. It is wasting time. That living entity is thinking that you will fight Krishna at any time. Kamsa's ignorance was like that. So he has arranged all these things, that Kulayabhinam attacked Krishna in this way, but he couldn't pull out from the ground his two tusks. But eventually, with a lot of force he pulled it. But when he pulled it, because of the force that was with which it was pulled, he immediately fell back. And while pulling, he fell down. In that process, Krishna jumped on top of him and pulled out the two tusks from Kulayabhinam. When they were pulled out, with the pain, Kulayabhinam was crying with such a pain. And he beat him on his forehead with one of the tusks and killed him. Also, at the same time, in the same process, Krishna, when he pushed the elephant fell on the Ambashta or the elephant keeper. He also died. So Kulayabhinam was killed, and also the elephant keeper or Mahat was also killed. After pulling out the two tusks, Krishna handed over one of them to Balaram and took another one to himself. Krishna is a very fond of elephants. You have to remember that. Krishna likes elephants very much. And in Dwaraka, when this story comes later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Naragasura's place, when he went there with Satyamama, after Naragasura was killed, Naragasura had so many elephants there. And what did Krishna do? He says to Naragasura's son, you can keep one of them here. The rest, 64 were there totally. And all of them had four tusks, not two. They are well known, the elephants with four tusks. So, out of the 64 one, Krishna says to him, you can keep one here. The remaining 63 should go to Dwaraka, he says. Krishna says the remaining 63 ones should go to Dwaraka. So that is how from this attachment for elephant has started from that day. It has not come today. It was always there. Krishna loves elephants. So Krishna at this point also, he killed Kulayabhinam, and with one of these tusks, Krishna moved Kulayabhinam furlongs away, hundreds of meters away, so that it doesn't become a blockage, because it will start lying there, a dead body. It will start smelly after a while. So Krishna thought, maybe I'll do that part of the work also. And he removed the dead body from there and threw it away quite far. And that was the end of Kulayabhinam's death. And the Ambashta also. So at this point in time, Parikshit Maharaj got a doubt about Krishna. That when did Krishna learn all these kind of games, how to deal with the elephants? Because Parikshit's doubt was... So when Parikshit had that doubt, Sudeva Goswami says there, Sabharya vartavanena savirakshanado chudaha vabhramyamanena govalsena balaga govalsena iva balagaha. That this capacity to control elephants, that is called Madangalila. Madangalila, there is a sage called Madanga Maharshi. Madanga Maharshi has written a book called Madanga Shastram, it is called. And this Madanga Shastram is completely about elephants, like horses. There is also a great science behind finding out different features of the elephants, and on that basis only they will judge the position, the quality of the elephant.
And so similarly, the Madanga Maharshi has written the Shastram called Madanga Shastram. So Madanga Shastram is in relationship with the elephant. And the pastimes of controlling the elephant, how to control an elephant, because when you catch the elephant from the forest, there is a lot of training required to make it, to tame the elephant, so that you can make him do what you want it to do. So that science is called Madanga Leela. So when did Krishna learn all these things? Parikshit was in doubt. So in return to that, Sukadeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, actually, Krishna has been playing with the bulls and the calves in Vrindavanam. At that time, Krishna has been playing in such a way that he knew how to control all the animals. On the other hand, Krishna were more impressed by the bulls and the calves than the elephant. Because Krishna thought at that time that this elephant is such an ugly looking animal, a big huge body, and takes long time to move from one position to another. And when you hold the tongue, and when you hold the tail, the elephant cannot see you also. And this has fascinated Krishna very much. Krishna is saying there that after playing with the cows and the bulls, I enjoyed that better than playing with this elephant. That was Krishna's attitude. But in the words you can see, Goval Seneva Balagaha, that in all conditions, Krishna had the experience how to deal with the animals also. Tado abhyumam abhyetya panina hatyavaranam pradravan padayamasa sprishavana padepadeyim. That the different activities what Krishna has done with the elephant. Sadhavan kridaya bhumo paditva sahasotidaha tammatva paditam kruddho danda abhyam sohanakshirim. Then when the elephant tried to hit Krishna, that this is what has happened. That it was getting more and more agitated with Krishna's activity. So vikrame pradihare kunjarendrotya marshidaha chodhyamano mahamatrai krishna abhyadravadrushaha. That tadama madandamasadya bhagavan madhusudana nigrihyabani ahastam padayamasa bhudale. Then Krishna pulled him down for holding the trunk. Paridasivada kramya mrigendrami vali ilaya dandamul patya denevam hastivamshahanadhari. Then, like a lion, Krishna was dealing, pushed that elephant, and with the one tusk was held down by his one leg, and pulled out the other one, and later on with that tusk he killed the elephant keeper also. Mridagam divamul srijya dandavani samavishal amsanyastha vishanu srangmada bindu virangidaha. That Krishna has completed the activities. That from the left hand, that he was on the left shoulder, he was carrying the tusk, and little bit of blood, and also the elephants have got sometime, they have a problem, there's a breakage here on their forehead, and the liquid start coming out from there. I think it's called must or something. When that comes out, it's a dangerous time for them. Because if they are not chained and controlled properly, they will go wild and they will get attacking everybody. So normally when the elephant keepers, when they come to know that the musti start coming out from their forehead, in addition to that, in preparation to that, they will chain them very strongly somewhere and tie them down and don't feed them even. Because if you feed them, they will get more wild after that. All the strength will increase. So make them weaker a little bit by doing it that way. So all these things are there, and our Krishna has controlled all these things, the elephants, nicely. And by now Krishna was sweating, and the blood from the Kulayapidam after killing that was also become a part of the Krishna's decorations. Budau gogvai kadivai baladeva janardhanau virangam vishadurajan gajadandhavaraidam. That when Krishna moved that wild elephant from there with this one tusk in the hand, everyone was surprised that such a weight, an elephant, you can easily see how much it weighs, about 10 tons sometimes, and that he could, 10,000 kilos in one lot he could move like that. After all, it's not surprising. If you remember, in Ramayana, when Krishna came as Ramachandra, there was this story of Dundubi's head. In order to impress Sugriva, who he is, Krishna showed him what it is. Nobody could move Dundubi's body. And Dundubi's head, Krishna kicked away with his, Ramachandra kicked away with the toe once and showed it to Sugriva, who he is. So Sugriva learned the lesson like that. And today, Krishna is, in this time, Krishna has also did the same thing with Kulayapidam's body. Now, the next verse, Krishna is entering into the Rangabhumi, as it is called, or the arena where the wrestling match is going to take place. So by now, the whole scene is full of people. They have all come, assembled there. They were all curiously waiting to see what is going to happen now. The news has already reached Kamsa that Krishna has killed Kulayapidam. So you can imagine what will be going through Kamsa's mind by now. And Kamsa was in terrible anxiety. And sitting there, he was observing everything. And these wrestlers were waiting there for Krishna and Balaram to come inside. Krishna and Balaram looked at everywhere. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it comes to this point, Vedavyasa Maharshi presents Krishna in a little different way, not in a usual way. Because at that particular time, when Krishna entered into the scene, all those who were present there, they all saw Krishna in different ways. Every one of them, they saw in different ways. That's the beauty of that presentation. Krishna has created an impression in their mind according to who they were. That is why that verse says there. And exactly the same verse appears in the Garga Bhagavatam also, Garga Maharshi's Garga Samhita. Also, the same verse without much of a change appears there. From this you can see that Gargamuni and Vedavyas must have talked to each other or must have read books to each other, or most probably Vedavyas has read Garga Samhita also, because Gargamuni's description of this scene is as accurate as Vedavyasa Maharshi's description also. So you'll see there how that verse has been framed by Vedavyas. And that is an important verse, because in this one verse Vedavyas mentioned many, many things, how everyone saw Krishna when he was entering into the arena. Mallanam ashanirndranam naravarastrinam smaro murtiman gopanam sojano sadam chidibujam shasta sovitro shishum mrityur bhojavadir virada vidusham tattvam varam yoginam rishninam paradeva devi vidido rengam gadasagrajaham. Mallanam asanirndranam naravarastrinam smaro murtiman gopanam sajano sadam chidibujam shasta sovitro shishum mrityur bhojavadir virada vidusham tattvam varam yoginam Vrishninam paradeva devi vidido rengam gadasagrajaha. That you can see there that what every one of them, how they saw Krishna. Mallanam ashanir. When they saw Krishna, the wrestlers, what did they think? They thought a thunderbolt is coming in to them. In other words, there was the rasam or the mellow. The mellow is more important in all the relationship. There are 9 major mellows, and all the 9 major mellows plus devotion was also there. That's why totally 10 mellows were expressed in that verse. So the first mellow was that Mallanam ashanirundranam naravaram. That first was anger in the face of the Krishna's face was showing anger at the wrestlers, that you are standing there to challenge me, isn't it? That was Krishna's mood at that time. Krishna is not the smiling face, don't take it for granted. When you go in front of the deity and when you see Krishna smiling, he's always smiling at you, isn't it? Every time when you go, have you seen any time Krishna not smiling? No, you will not have never seen Krishna not smiling. Krishna is always smiling. But that smile, don't take it for granted, because that smile is a dangerous smile. When he gets angry, only then you have to see how what can happen. So here, you will notice there, Mallanam ashanim, that the Krishna created an impression among the wrestlers that here I am coming, and then anger in the face has really affected the wrestlers. Both of them were frightened seeing the anger in Krishna's face. Mallana Mashanir, like a thunderbolt, Krishna walked into the scene. And normally you would have expected that Krishna would have gone and sat somewhere, isn't it? Normally that's what you will do when you go to see the wrestling match or any big event like that. But comes Krishna, didn't go and sit anywhere, straight away walked into the arena where they were wrestling. By now, the Krishna and Balaram walked into that place where Chanura and Mushtiya, the two wrestlers, were standing there. So when Krishna and Balaram walked in, all the cowherd boys also followed. They thought that this is the system. They didn't know anything. What Krishna does, that's all, that's their rule. As far as they are concerned, what Krishna does is the standard. So when Krishna and Balaram moved in, they also moved along with them. They thought this is good fun, that two big wrestlers are standing there. We have got the best seat to watch what's going to happen. So they jumped into the arena as well, and all over people were standing or sitting in there in their respective places. Mallana Mashanir Nirnam Mallana Mashanir Nirnam Smarav Mallana Mashanir Nirnam Maravaras Trinam Smaro Murtiman. All the other kings who were present there, that they started, they were amazed by Krishna's face, Krishna's beauty. And at the same time, they started thinking, a new king has come to rule us all. Another big, powerful king has come. So therefore, to them, Krishna gave them a surprised look. That they were surprised, that you could see on their faces. They were surprised to see Krishna that so boldly walking into the arena. And they were also knew that Kamsa's enemy had come. So they were also frightened. And that surprise was, that feeling of, surprise look were on their face as well. Mallana Mashanirnam Naravara Srinam Suro Smaro Murtiman. That was the story with the kings, but what happened to all the women who were present there? When the woman saw Krishna, it was another experience altogether. When the woman saw that beauty and also the attraction of the smile and the eyes, everything, they were captivated by Krishna's beauty. Or in other words, the relationship with the women was, they felt the conjugal feelings with Krishna. That developed among the women there. They started feeling that relationship with Krishna very strongly. So, same Krishna is walking into the arena and different people are experiencing different mellows. You can see that. That women felt in that way. That, Srinam Smaro Murtiman Gopanam Sajano Sadam. That. The cowherd boys who were present there, they were also looking at Krishna at that time. How did they find? They experienced another form of Krishna there. What did they see? They thought, Krishna is smiling at us, as usual. The normal way how Krishna had a relationship with all the cowherd boys, very close relationship, and that was one of friendship. And that friendship means always smiling and friendly. That is what the cowherd boys experienced with Krishna. Gobanam sujano sadam chidibujam shasta sobitro shishum. What has happened then at that time, that all the kings who were evil and who had never liked Krishna, for them it was a heroic feeling that Krishna has given to them. I am the hero. That feeling they got. Shasta sobitro shishum gobanam sujano sadam Shidibujam Shasta, Shidibujam Shasta, and that Shidibujam Shasta, that is, that he has come now who is going to maintain this planet. That is how they felt, seeing the other kings who are not, who are actually the kings who actually gave trouble to the saintly people, saintly or devotees. Because under Krishna's, Kamsa's administration, a lot of devotees had to suffer a lot. Especially the pious people, the saintly people, brahmanas, they were all, it was like a bit of like a Hiranyakashipu's rule that was going on. So they all experienced this, and our kings also felt frightened. That was that experience of the kings. So Pitro Shishum. But when Kamsa, when Krishna moved further, the Nanda Maharaj was sitting there with other elder members of the elder members of the cowherd men. What did they see? So Pitro Shishum, my own son is coming. That's how they felt. that Karuna Rasam, that different rasas. For example, in the first one, it was Raudram, the anger he had shown. In the second one, he has shown Albudam, the surprise was shown. And with the women, it was Shringaram, or the conjugal relationship. And for the cowherd men, gopas, they were friends, cowherd boys, Krishna was showing Hasyam, or the smile, beautiful smile of Krishna. And to the evil kings who have given trouble to them, Krishna was like a heroic way. He walked in, I am the hero, I'll deal with you. That was Krishna's attitude. That was experienced by the evil kings. Nanda Maharaj experienced Karuna, or in other words, I am your son, isn't it? That kind of relationship with Nanda Maharaj. And then after that, Mrityur Bhojavadeer. Bhojavadeer, that is Kamsa. What did Kamsa see? Kamsa saw that death personified has come in front of me. You can see that is the, he did not want any, require any warning after that. Mrityur Bhojavadeer Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam Rishninam Paradeva Devi Vidido Rangam Gada Sagrajaham. That when Kamsa was seeing that Bhojavadeva was experiencing Mrityu, or death personified has come in front of them, Virada Vidusham, that for ignorant people, how does Krishna appear in this world? For ignorant people it's very difficult. That is our problem. That we are all in that category. Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. That we do not know who is Krishna. We don't know what is Krishna. We are only reading about Krishna from the book. And therefore, Virada Vidusham, that those who are ignorant, for them the universal form is Krishna, isn't it? For us, the whole creation is Krishna's representation in this world. That is how you see it. Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. Yogis, they were seeing the truth whom they, what they meditate upon. That is how they see it. Vishnu Bhojamade Mrityur Bhojamade Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam Rishninam Paradeva Dedi Vidido Rangam Gadasagrajaham. That all the Vrishnis who were present there, or the family members who were present there, they were all experiencing, Vrishnis are their family members, to them Krishna has sold the bhakti rasam, or devotion towards them. That he gave them the devotional feeling towards him. So, in this particular verse, Mallanam ashanirmranam maravarastrinam smaro murtiman gopanam sajano sadam kshitibujam shasta asubitro shishu Mrityur Bhojavadeer Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam Rishninam Paradeva Dedi Vidido Rangam Gadasagrajaham. So that in one important verse, how Krishna's arrival in the scene was discussed. And it is 7:30. So stop there today. We'll continue on next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.